please don't take this person out. Would you politely go to hell? Get the fuck out of my way, cause it's been one of those days.
Come on, boiler room.
Yeah, we're fucked up. Oh, the wrong door.
Yeah, somehow the apes are back.
Honk, 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 honk.
I have a month's worth of beans.
Makes me want to ride an escalator at a mall.
All we ever do is mention things.
Right out of the box, I'm having fun.
Mad at a room.
Live, on tape, it's the fastest hour in podcasting. This is Never Not Funny. Now, here's your host, Jimmy Pardo.
There we go. Thank you so much, Matt Belknap. Indeed, welcome to the program, episode 35Q of the award-winning podcast, Never Not Funny. This is the conspiracy theory episode. We got the Q. You never know what's going to go on here. JFK Jr.'s coming back. Donnie T's back in the office. Things are going the way that we want it to, the way that we all planned when we bought the Turner Diaries back in the day. I think that's what they're called, the Turner Diaries. We welcome you into the program here. If you're listening to us live, we appreciate that you hopped on here on what is a Thursday morning in Los Angeles, but your time may vary. It could be 1:30 if you're on the East Coast, 12:30 Central, of course, 11:30 the Mountain, and then Hawaii. Go splash around, enjoy your fucking sun. Don't be listening to this bullshit. Go out and surf. Or body surf, or boogie board, or just lay out in the sand, or make a sand castle. Maybe you bury a buddy in the sand. That's always fun for about 10 seconds, and then you realize, why did I bury my buddy in the sand? That's nobody enjoys that. Hey, look at that. We buried Don. And that's it. And then it's fun. And then you go, what do you think, Don? Don goes, yeah. And then you guys each go and probably have a Corona and talk about how you should be in Mexico because you got to leave this country. Now! We welcome you in. At any rate, that's Garen Cockrell giggling over there. Matt Belknap sitting quietly, standing by. Elliot Hochberg, a little under the weather, but still coming through strong today on a Thursday. We got an update. Matt, you know this. We got a Elliot was kind enough to give us a 48, maybe possibly 50-hour lead time on he might not be here today because he has a cold. So yep. We got a 50-hour, 50-hour head time. I will tell you this, Elliot. I shared that information with the nurse, and she made fun of you. She goes, you know when you let you know? When did she let you know? Wednesday night. That's what she said.
Yeah, but
her words, not mine.
It was a live episode, and I didn't want to surprise you. On a Wednesday. It feels like the night before for a work thing. It's one thing if you're in an office. Yeah. And like, I'll be working from home. You know, that's no big deal. But suddenly Joseph Limbaugh's here. You know,
I could argue both sides of these but I will say that I think on paper, 50 hour advance seems a little excessive.
That's a work week.
It's a
work.
That's a lot of hours. That's you had two full days to improve.
Yeah.
And you did.
And I did.
Yeah. I bust your balls.
Sure, sure.
Because for comedy.
Yeah, yeah.
Also for reality.
Well, it's another thing where, because it's one of those things where it's like, I had to check to see if Joseph was available, which he actually wasn't going to be.
Right.
And so then when I learned that, I was like, well, so I actually told you before, because I was, here's the thing. Oh, I felt like shit.
Yeah.
So when you feel like shit, that seems like going to last forever.
You know what? In fairness to that, I 100% agree with that. There have been many a times where, on a Saturday, I go, I might not be able to make it on Monday.
Yeah.
It's, I get it. Yeah. I get it. I still made fun of you in text message to a nurse you don't know.
Okay.
Because we received your message, and then I was on my way to the doctor's office, and the woman said, yeah, it's cold and flu season's going around. I go, yeah, so much so. A coworker of mine just let us know at 8 o'clock today he may not make it to work at 10 o'clock on Thursday. And she went, what? That's a Wednesday night situation. I go and said, your words, not mine, man.
But you got to do that, Jimmy, because that way you can be like, yeah, you think I'm getting sick all the time. Look at this guy.
Look at this whack job. Yeah. This was a nurse I did not know. I did not know this nurse. This is a new nurse, double N. Fuck, is he sick? What
Jesus
the shit is that
Christ.
Now?
Christ, why did he show up today?
Let us know if you're going to be sick, asshole.
I kind of thought he'd have a mask on.
I'm a little surprised he doesn't.
I have one in the car.
Yeah, go get it. And then you know what? Since you're out in that car, couldn't hurt just head home.
You press the buttons you need to press. You know, get out of here.
Just put it where they need to be and scram.
Wide angle.
And by the way, I'm fine with you not wearing a mask. I thought you'd be wearing a mask because you're nuts.
Same. Yeah, I wasn't right? Saying, hey, I want you to. I just thought you would because you're like that.
I mean, you all don't seem to care, so.
No.
No.
So if you don't care, I will say that I made sure that Irma was a sufficient distance from me most of the time.
Well, she's always that because she's 4 feet shorter than you.
Yeah, that's fair.
You've always got a wide berth.
Yeah. But
does she ever say, how's the weather up there when she walks by?
She's got a better sense of humor than you.
That wasn't Matt's joke, you dumb fuck. I don't know if that's an accurate statement.
It might be.
Damn.
You think Irma's got a better sense of humor than Matt Belknap?
Well, she does laugh at things that are less funny, but she also recognizes humor that I've seen Matt miss. So, yes.
Wow. Look at this. You're getting hit. You're
I'm
getting
a Grammy-winning producer, sir.
Of comedy. I'll say this, though. Producer doesn't mean that you get it. just means you were near somebody being funny.
The industry, outside of Matt Belknap, the industry proves that being a producer of comedy does not necessarily mean.
That's fair. Yeah.
I think Matt, Matt is literally 24 inches from stardom. That would be your,
I mean, maybe being here 19 years counts for something.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a little harsh. I think...
I agree.
Do I think Matt's funny? I don't. But I think what you're saying is very harsh. I think it's insane to say Irma's got a better sense of humor. Does his sense of humor suck? Yes, he misses a lot. But she's a lay person. Yes.
I also would say there's a difference between... Like, it's all subjective, obviously, but you could have just said, Irma gets me more than Matt does. And that,
oh, that's 100% true.
Oh, Irma gets you more than the world gets you.
Yeah, that's
true. You found the one person that could tolerate this shit.
Yeah, that's fair.
And you're
not
both
only tolerate,
wrong. And you're both wrong.
You're both wrong. Put a mask on. No, so back to that. I thought you'd have a mask on because, again, you're crazy. Not because we're concerned about it.
Well, no, I mean, I wore masks mostly for other people. So in this situation, since I knew I didn't have COVID and you guys didn't seem to care, I have it in the car.
It can still prevent us from getting whatever you do have.
Yeah, no, I thought about it.
I am fine with it.
Yeah.
I am fine with it. I actually had a conversation with Danielle that I wouldn't even in what we are in the world today. If you had said on Tuesday I have COVID and you woke up today and said I feel better, I'm not even sure where I would stand on that. I don't know if the 5 day thing applies anymore. I don't know what the lay of that land.
I was going to say a button, but I don't know if that works. I don't have a handle on how bad getting COVID is now.
Well, I also think...
Yeah, go ahead, sir.
Well, that's a situation where I think we all would say, yeah, if you're feeling better, come on in, but maybe wear a mask just so that you're not...
That's what I would say.
Like, that would be a case where I think we'd all agree maybe a mask is appropriate. But but you certainly... I mean, I don't know. People are just living their lives now. Yeah. I think the 5 day rule is a good rule of thumb, but it might be overkill at this point.
I don't know. I don't know if it is. I don't know what.
No, they stopped telling us anything about what they've learned.
They stopped telling us things because whenever they opened their mouths, they got death threats.
Right.
You know,
it works.
Anytime they tried to help us,
terrorism works.
Yeah, shut your fucking mouth. We're going to kill you. Yeah. And then poor Fauci goes back into his house.
Yeah, he's an 80 year old man. He doesn't need it.
Probably a beautiful house. Do you think he's got just a nice?
I imagine he has a nice, modest house. Like it's the nicest, modest house you could have.
Modest house, your favorite DJ?
Oh,
as well, right?
Oh yeah.
That's a combination of modest mouse
and
that other guy. What's his name?
Dead Mouse.
That was a combo. I did a mashup on
but
that.
But what's weird is Modest Mouse is also a band.
Yeah,
Modest House.
Right, but I thought you were referencing Modest Mouse.
I was mashing up Modest Mouse because I said DJ.
Yeah.
So it was Dead Mouse and Modest Mouse. I was mashing them up.
Gotcha.
Irma would have got it.
It's just another example.
Another example of how Irma gets it and you don't.
I get it. I just thought there was a more direct path to the band Modest Mouse. You didn't have to get DJs involved in it.
I misspoke and then tried to correct it by saying it's a mashup.
Gotcha.
I'll tell you this. Irma wouldn't have gone a deep dive on this.
No, she would have laughed and moved on.
Laughed and moved on. That's all we really should ever do whenever I say something.
Laugh and move on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's a real safe thing to do on this program.
So you're comedy Trump now. We just all have to. Yes, boss. Ha ha. Funny. Everybody,
laugh and move on. Well, you don't have to analyze it. Comedy is not made to be analyzed. It's absurdity. So you laugh.
Tell that to the students at Emerson College who are majoring in it.
There's a whole social media network dedicated to analyzing comedy.
There used to be a message board for it.
Is that X?
Yeah.
Yeah. Analyzing comedy is stupid. Just enjoy it.
Or don't.
I mean, you know, that's, you know, I can go into a deep dive on, you know, why Matt Rife is or is not funny. But if you like it, so what? I'm going to suck your joy. That's what I call your dick.
Oh.
My mouth can't be drier. It cannot be. It's a desert.
What could we do?
My mouth is a desert. It's a desert.
How could we solve that?
Monster drink. not drinking a lot of Coke Zeros these days. Only when I go to the movies. I did have one at the house the other night when we had that small get together.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had one last night. My son and I went to see the movie called The Order. You familiar with that movie, The Order?
No.
It's based on the true story about the Aryan Nation and the Order in 1983.
Whoa.
When they the Order was a offshoot from the Aryan Nation, even wackier jobs than the Aryan Nation.
Oh boy!
And then they killed that that DJ Alex Berg. Remember that the Jewish mm-hmm. played by Marc Maron in this movie,
huh.
Who is in the movie maybe a total of 2 minutes,
okay.
But did a good job.
Yeah,
did a good job.
Cool.
And that guy Nicholas, he was in The Menu. Nicholas
Holt. We were just talking about him.
That tall, beautiful man was in it. And Jude Law, who is aging gracefully. He's no longer the soft, beautiful man he once was.
He was a pretty young man,
yes.
I would say. And now he's a ruggedly handsome, middle-aged man.
And also with the mustache he had on, has a Dabney Coleman quality to him, which is very odd.
Interesting.
But he was very good, and it was a good movie. We saw it last night at my son and I at the Santa Monica Lemley. And where there were in the movie, in the movie theater, there was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Not as little as I thought, but we all sat. There's about 20 seats. It's a very small theater, about 20 seats in total in that particular theater. So there were 11 of us, and we all sat in the same triangle as soon as you walk in.
Yeah.
Like we were in the back row, the two seats at the aisle, two seats right in front of us, one guy in front of them. Two right next to Oliver. Luckily, that woman moved right when the movie started, so he had an empty seat next to him, because why would you sit next to somebody?
Was this reserved seating or just go?
It was reserved seating. And so I always, and I'll tell you this, Oliver and I were the first two tickets sold.
Right.
So I always find it interesting that yeah. It's wide open.
Why did you pick the seats right next to us?
Why'd you do that?
Yeah.
You could have easily. And then the people that sat behind us, there was two seats on the, literally, there's only six seats across.
Mm-hmm.
So the two that would be on the far end of the other of it was, by the way, and only one aisle. That's against a wall. So if you're in seat six, you're against a wall.
Mm-hmm.
And that seat sucks, because then you got to cross five people if you got to get out.
Yeah.
Those two people talked throughout the entire previews that had me tense. Are they going to shut up during the movie? And the answer was no.
Oh, no.
She whispered throughout the whole movie, and it was just enough where you couldn't say shut up, or just not enough.
Mm-hmm.
But it was there. It was Danielle and I. You know what we saw the other night? Monday night. The Culver Theater has they're playing old movies from the MGM catalog, and we saw Dr. Zhivago.
Oh, wow!
You ever see Dr. Zhivago?
Never saw it.
What have you heard your whole life about Dr. Zhivago?
That it's great,
right? What else have you heard?
It's beautifully shot and.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a little slow. Maybe I'm just assuming that it's slow.
It's 3 hours and 13 minutes.
Yeah.
So my whole life, I heard my mother and my aunt and many women of that generation talk about Dr. Zhivago in literally go, oh, Dr. Zhivago, and how beautiful it is, and how the love story is heart-wrenching. And they sobbed, and they've never sobbed so hard than at Dr. Zhivago.
Okay.
And then whenever they show those clips at the Grammy, not the Grammys, the Oscars, they always show a clip from Dr. Zhivago. They always show a clip,
mm-hmm.
and it's okay. As Danielle said, and I agree with this, I was never bored.
Yeah.
But man, is it boring.
Yeah.
And Julie Christie, who has beautiful eyes, is a cold fish, so you don't really fall in love with her.
Hmm.
And he's gorgeous, and oddly enough, remind me a lot of Andrew J. Koenig, Omar Sharif did,
okay.
In this role. The way his haircut and the way he delivered his lines and his eyes reminded me of Andrew, and he's very handsome. But it's very odd, and to have heard, I'd never seen it, and to heard your whole life, not just from my mother, but from women, again, women that generation, men. And then the Oscars, telling us our whole life that Dr. Zhivago is one of the greatest films ever made, to then finally see it and just go, okay.
Yeah.
Maybe it was for the time.
Right.
But there was an intermission, which I appreciated.
Oh, that's nice.
And needed. Oh, old school. Christ, get up and stretch those legs.
Yeah.
But the reason I bring this up alongside the order conversation is in the row in front of us, let's call it 11 o'clock from where Danielle's 6 o'clock was. These two, let's say 20-somethings, mm-hmm. Were talking. And he was, I don't know what he was saying to her, but every time he said something, she would laugh. And so he's kind of leaning over and making a comment about the movie or saying something. And she would laugh. And it was fucking annoying.
That's a weird. If you're going to go to Dr. Zhivago, you're already so far down the path of like you have to be a cinephile or pretentious at the very least. But like you should know in that if you're going to go out of your way to go to an old classic, you should know better than to talk during it.
It is. You didn't wander to the Culver Theater, right. To your point, and go, oh, what's showing? Oh, let's see Dr. Zhivago.
Yeah.
You know, you'd go to maybe the 7 o'clock of Moana 2, right. If you want to laugh, yeah. You know, or whatever the fuck you want to do.
Yeah.
So, because I'm with you, I'm agreeing. You're adults,
mm-hmm.
And this is a cinephile where a man stands in front before the movie starts. He gets up and gives a speech mm-hmm. about the movie.
Yeah.
And so the guy right behind them leans over and goes, "Will you please stop talking?" And the guy looks back, and they stop talking for about a second, and then I see them talk to each other, and their solution was to move down and sit right in front of me and Danielle.
Oh.
And so it was like, so your solution to that guy telling you to stop talking is to move so you could talk directly in front of me? So they then, they settle in, and I thought they were, when they got up, I thought, oh good, they're leaving. They realized they've walked into the boring Dr. Zhivago.
Right.
They want to talk. Get the fuck out of here. They sat right in front of us, and I was like, you got to be shitting me. So they settle in. He then leans over, says his thing. She laughs, and I went, stop talking. And Danielle maintains they did. They didn't.
Nah.
But it wasn't as much.
Yeah.
And, because Danielle said in intermission, if they had kept talking, she was going to say to them, so your solution was to just move?
Yeah.
You know, I wanted to say, you're an adult. Yeah. How are you incapable of being quiet for more than one minute? And then I saw him out in the hallway, and I had the urge to punch him in the face.
Yeah.
Because it was like, what, to your point, you're at a cinephile film.
Yeah.
Why are you talking? Why are you trying to make your girlfriend laugh?
Yeah. It's, maybe this isn't for you.
Right. Maybe it's not for you. Scram.
This is not, it's not your couch at home where you can riff on the film.
Right.
This isn't riff tracks.
Also, you're not riff tracking. You're riff tracking this.
Yeah.
Where, what are you riff tracking? The landscape? There's a lot of landscape. There's a lot of landscape.
Well, now, okay, here's a question.
Yeah.
And I don't want to take their side. I'm not taking their side. I would never do that. But were they talking when there was no dialogue?
No.
So he was talking during dialogue.
He was talking whenever he wanted to talk.
Jesus Christ.
He was talking whenever, you know, whatever snarky comment he was making about Omar Sharif or Julie Christie's lack of charisma, but yet beautiful eyes. She's gorgeous, but man, she brings nothing. Like I'm a man who, and make no mistake, could easily fall in love with Julie Christie.
I don't know if I've ever seen a movie with Julie Christie.
Maybe this is one of the later ones. This is her big movie, right?
Yeah, it was.
And what's her other big one? She has another huge one.
She had kind of like a comeback one that I think she got nominated for an Oscar for in the 90s. It was kind of like latter day. Like,
yes.
Hey, let's all celebrate that she's had a great career by honoring this one role.
I'm sure she had a great career. That's the truth. But there is another movie. Like, oh, damn it. I want to say it's one word. Dr. Zhivago. Garen, is it one word? Am I right?
There's a couple of them that are one. One of them, she plays herself.
That's not the one I'm looking for. What's the
Julie?
One? What's the one of the 70s that she was? It's one word in the 70s, right?
Yep.
And it was a huge movie.
Yep.
And it's the, I think that's the one that really made Julie Christie.
It's a comedy.
Oh.
Quote unquote. All-star cast.
What's to begin with? What letter to begin with?
Carrie Fisher's film debut begins with S.
S. Is it Shampoo?
Yeah.
It is Shampoo.
Yeah. And then Nashville was the one I was talking about.
Nashville?
It says herself, so maybe she was just like a
Yeah, I don't remember her in Nashville at all, but I just saw Nashville this year.
Did you see Don't Look Now with, what's his name? The, oh God, what's his name?
I'll say no. It'll save us some
time. It's a horror, Donald Sutherland.
It's got the she's in that too, yes.
She's in that, yeah.
What was she nominated for? Was she nominated? Is Matt Belknap right?
Was she nominated?
Would have been like early, mid-90s probably.
I remember some sort of a comeback for her.
Maybe late 90s.
That's right. She's in Shampoo.
Or as the Spanish call it, Champoo.
She was nominated for...
Did you learn that from your...
yeah, from Babel.
From Babel?
It's a new one. Because I think it's so funny because it sounds almost exactly the same. But they've... whoever did it first, I don't know who's being weird. Probably the English. But they spell it C-H-A-M-P-U. And... we spell it S-H-A-M-P-O-O, as you know.
Yeah, I do know.
It's just odd that it's so similar and yet different.
I kind of prefer their spelling. Champoo. I don't like the feces involved with my hair cleanse.
Yeah, good call.
She was nominated for Darling in 1965. She won for that. Oh. McCabe and Mrs. Miller.
Oh, sure.
Afterglow was 97. And Away From Her was 2007.
I think I was thinking of Afterglow.
Aspenglow is a song by John Denver, if anybody's interested.
It wasn't. God, that guy never got out of the mountains, did he?
Loved him. Loved him.
At one point, he certainly did.
Forever in the mountains.
If I may, sir, he crashed into the ocean, but I get your joke.
Oh, okay.
That's a real Mandela effect thing, that because of his name and his music, we all think he crashed that plane in mountains, because it feels poetically correct that that's what it would have happened.
You almost would have preferred it.
Yeah, it's
like you say,
they should have rerouted that flight.
Yeah. Hey, John, you're going down. Is there any way you can...
can you get to a mountain?
Quickly,
you've got a legend to uphold.
In fairness, Aspenglow is off the Rocky Mountain Christmas album. So it is about the Rocky Mountain. But he sure did love it. He
milked that.
Well, is that Sunshine on the Shoulders. He's got a line in that where he... how visiting the mountains changed his life, or whatever the line is. That I'm badly mangling, paraphrasingly. Good
is
sentence.
That, is that because he met his first weed dealer there? Is that why he changed his life?
Yeah. Was he a
big pothead?
I don't know him to be a pothead.
I don't know why I think that.
Oh, he's Rocky Mountain High.
You're Rocky Mountain.
That's why.
No, he's high off the sunshine.
Yeah, that's what they...
That's the Strand.
That's the Strand. Very good.
Well, Garen knows. He goes to those places, the dispensaries.
Yep.
I watched all that stuff back in the behind the music, and then there was the Chad Lowe two-part... miniseries? Uh-huh. Two-part. I guess that's not a miniseries.
Talk about hair casting.
Yeah. And he was okay. He was okay. Chad Lowe as John Denver.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of those... remember VH1 for a little while had...
those made-for-TV movies.
Remember the Meatloaf one? Did you ever see that one?
I don't think so.
Oh, garbage. Absolute garbage. They had a Def Leppard one. Garbage. Absolute. Both of them were absolute garbage.
Speaking of Meatloaf, I was in a Broadway subreddit thread the other day about, people were just talking about shows that were terrible. Like, what was the worst show you ever saw or whatever? And someone said Bat Out of Hell. And I was like, I had tickets for the tour that never happened. And I'm still regretting it. And someone said, there's maybe a production in England right now.
Was that right?
Yeah. So,
well, you know what's interesting?
Those flights.
Most people that've seen it say it's great.
Well, that's the thing. This guy was like, it's so ridiculous and cheesy, but it's amazing. Like, he loves it, even though that's what I wanted out of it. Like, when we were going to go, I was like, I am going with the hope that this will be a wonderful train wreck, that it's just going to be so ridiculous and over the top. But it's, you know you're going to love the music.
It's Jim Steinman, so of course it's going to be over the top. I mean, it's just...
That's what he was all about.
It's bombastic.
Yeah.
Bombastic.
By the way, backtracking slightly, I have a great script idea for Garen to write up.
Well, here we go, Garen.
Nicholas Holt was in The Menu. Mm-hmm. Now he's in The Order. Got to finish the trilogy, The Bill.
Yeah.
Write it up.
Write it up. Go. It's on you.
All right. I saw him at the bookstore once.
Much taller than you think he is, isn't he?
Huge.
Yeah.
He is a tall, tall,
he doesn't
beautiful
look
man.
Tall on film to
he
me.
Doesn't.
Until he doesn't. He steps out of a car.
Oh, okay.
And that's when I realized it. So it's like, he doesn't look tall. He's like, he stood out of the car in a way like Pan's Labyrinth, like the character in Pan's Labyrinth comes out of the car, like the leg first,
yeah.
And then a giant.
Yeah.
Very strange. Very strange. What was he doing at the bookstore? Reading? Probably something on the top shelf. Mm-hmm. Maybe helping a youngster out.
Dusting.
I think he was with his family. I think he had kids with him.
How beautiful were those children?
They were.
He's got kids?
Yeah. I think they were stroller age.
How old is this guy?
He's not that old.
If I'm going to guess, 34?
Oh, I would have said 27.
He's 6'3", which...
Okay, so maybe I'm right with 34 then?
He's 35.
35. Happy birthday to Nicholas Hoult.
I guess I wasn't aware of him. I'd probably seen him in a million things, but didn't know his name until a few years, like maybe 3 years ago.
I don't think I knew his name until The Menu. I think that's when I first saw his beautiful face grace the screen, or at least knew that I did.
Well, he's a bit of a chameleon, right? Like, he was in
What was he in before The Menu? Because he was in something.
He was in something. Well, we were talking about it because he's in the new Superman that the trailer just dropped today. He's Lex Luthor. And so we were talking about him, and these guys pointed out that he was in the TV show The Great, about Catherine the Great.
Oh.
He played Tsar Nicholas or something?
Mm-hmm.
I never watched that, but I feel like he was in a couple other things where he had a totally different look to him that you wouldn't even recognize him necessarily.
Well, I think there was a movie he was in right before The Menu that
that's,
like, you could, like, oh, that's the same guy.
Yeah.
What was that movie,
what
Garen?
What was that, Garen?
One of his first movies here was about a boy.
He's a little boy. Yeah, he was.
And then he was in the X-Men movies. He was Beast.
Oh, okay.
He was in Fury Road.
That's maybe what I was thinking of. Yes, that's what I was thinking of, because everybody looks crazy in that movie.
I'm not thinking of that.
What did he do? Renfield?
That was it.
Mm-hmm.
We saw him in Renfield, and he's great. He's great in that.
Oh, right, playing opposite Nicolas Cage, yeah.
He's great in that. Yeah, good for him. Deserves it. I believe he plays Renfield.
I think so.
He does.
Yeah.
He played J.R.R. Tolkien in the Tolkien film that I did not know existed.
Me neither. When did that come out?
2019?
Mm.
No, thank you.
Speaking of which, Oliver and I saw two trailers last night for movies that apparently opened 2 weeks ago that I don't know where they're playing. One called September 5th about
the Munich one, right?
The Munich.
That looks good.
That looks great.
Yeah. And then, I saw that trailer at some point too, and I was like, damn, I got to see that.
Yeah. And it was like, why is this not out? It said December 5th as an opening.
Yeah.
And we're past that, right? I'm not wrong. My calendar.
But that's a screener thing. Like, if Danielle or you both are in SAG, right? Or she's in the Writers Guild. So between the two of you, you should have it in some map.
Yeah, we might. Well, you got it?
Yeah.
Oh. We should have that. I'll still probably insist I go see it at the movie theater.
It looks really good. And I remember Spielberg made that movie, Munich.
I like that, too.
It's good, but I remember being a little disappointed that this seems like more like what I wanted Munich to be, which is it's really just about the hostage situation. It's not like this long, labyrinthine story that's just one sort of part of. This is really just the hostage situation at the Olympics.
And how television covered it.
And how the TV crew dealt with it. Because it's the sports. That's the quote-unquote twist or whatever the hook of the movie is. It's a sports broadcast team covering the Olympics who are then thrust into the role of covering a news
In the trailer, they're not thrust. The news wants to take it away from them.
They're trying to
and sports is like, no, this is our story,
right?
Showing at the AMC's around town, Century City, the Grove.
Oh, is that the AMC's?
Yeah,
so that means I won't go. I don't go to the AMC's. No, thank you.
This guy's partisan.
No, thank you. And then there was another trailer, something that looked, I can't even remember what it was, but it was like, Oliver, like, if that was playing in the next theater at 9, we'd go see it.
Hmm.
Like, whatever it was, looked great.
Well, there's all these Oscar bait movies are dropping all over the place, and some of them aren't getting big releases, and, you know, I want to see a lot of them. They all look good to me. You know, they're designed to look good, obviously. Yeah. Like, that's their goal. And it's working. I do want to see them all.
Well, this Munich looks good. Or what's it called? September 5th.
September 5th.
And, well, God damn it. What was the other one that was supposed to just go? I don't know. It looked really good. Looked good. That's my point.
By the way.
Some really good films out there.
I got very confused this morning because I was driving by a bus poster, and it said A Complete Unknown. And it was the whole poster was just a picture of Ed Norton as Woody Guthrie, Arlo Guthrie, one of the Guthries.
Is he one of the Guthries? Or is he Pete Seeger?
Pete Seeger. All right, so thank you. I get those guys mixed up. Pete Seeger. Thank you. And that's all it was. And it said Ed Norton as Pete Seeger, A Complete Unknown. I was like, wait, I thought the Bob Dylan movie was called A Complete Unknown. Now there's a fucking different movie about a different folk singer.
Very coincidental.
Also called.
Oddly timed.
Like, okay. And then I looked up and there was a full-size billboard of the whole movie with all the different cast members, the major cast members in it. So I guess if I had been paying more attention, maybe I would have seen all the other bus-sized ones in a row somehow. But I only saw the one. I was like, what?
It's fun.
Yeah. But I'm excited for that too. I don't know if it's going to be good, but I like
My buddy Michael McKean, asterisk, not my buddy. said it was good.
Cool.
He said it was good. So keep that in mind if you think if you want Lenny's review.
I do. He seems like a guy who would be plugged into the world of you know, Bob Dylan biopics and whether they're good or not.
Yeah, he seems like a pretty funny, sharp guy as well.
And a guy who wouldn't, who would be maybe not a harsh critic, but very, like a, he's not going to go easy on a movie. You know, like he seems like he would be a tough sell. Like he's not going to just go, yeah, everything's good. I like everything. Like he seems like he has strong opinions.
I think he does.
So if he liked it, that's a good sign.
That's a guy who has had an amazing career.
Yeah.
Has been around since the early 70s and is still making movies and appearing relevant today. That's a, and not a household name. Could easily go to a restaurant and not be bothered.
Yeah.
But he's, you know, like Ed Begley, although Ed Begley probably is even more recognizable, which is bizarre to say, right, considering this guy was the star of Spinal Tap and other things. And
he's been in a number of huge things,
yes,
that are culturally impactful between, you know, Laverne and Shirley and, like you said,
Smile Tap.
I guess that'll be.
Just happened.
But he was also, he was on, well, he wasn't, on, was he ever on SNL? I know he hosted it once.
No, wasn't he a cast member for that?
I think
that?
He might have also been a cast member briefly.
No, he wasn't.
But he,
was he?
I remember seeing a clip of him hosting in the early 80s during that like non-Lorne era, which was kind of crazy to see.
I'm going to say that he was not a cast
member. I don't think he was a cast member. Oh, he was.
He was briefly a cast member on NBC sketch comedy series Saturday Night Live for its 19th and 20th seasons.
Is that the ones with Billy Crystal?
94 to 95.
Yeah, that's right. No, yeah, that was it.
Was Billy?
It was the Adam Sandler, Chris Farley era.
Oh, was it? Oh, yes. And it was bizarre. Why is this guy here? Yeah. Why, if I may, and he probably was 40, but it was like, why is this old man on this show?
In the same way that they brought Mark McKinney from from Kids in the Hall into the cast, which was kind of strange at the time, because it was like Kids in the Hall, I guess, had ended maybe. And they're like, yeah, we'll take him. But he was a little older. Yeah, I mean, it was a weird vibe. And I found out later that two of the Kids in the Hall guys wrote for SNL before Kids in the Hall in the 80s,
was
like
right?
85 or
I
something.
I know that.
Which is also wild to think about how their career went. Like, I think Bruce and maybe Mark, I can't remember. I know it was Bruce, but yeah, just weird because I obviously didn't know who they were until Kids in the Hall started. But
then Mark McKinney, was that the guy that ended up on Superstore? Is that the fellow that ended up over there on that Superstore? Mm-hmm. About the big box store?
That's right.
Superstore.
Did Michael McKean do this the Weekend Update thing with Mark McKinney where they were like the powdered wig, like fops? Remember those guys?
Mark?
Was that that was them, right?
It was definitely Mark McKinney.
Yeah,
but
I don't know who the other guy was.
Who was the other guy? And they would just go.
Yeah.
That was the.
Taron Killam had his own kind of version of that where he would review movies and
yes,
throw his thing.
But that was like maybe 5 or 10 years later.
What were they called?
30 years later.
No, the Mark McKinney thing was in the mid 90s. And I don't remember when Taron Killam was on, maybe 2010. So, yeah.
20 years later?
Yeah. But what was that call then? Why did it happen more than once, more importantly?
Yeah. I remember not enjoying that.
Wild.
But I enjoy a lot of things. I don't enjoy a lot of things.
Sure.
That's just
comedy's the
that's the nature of the beast.
31 flavors.
You never know what's going to make something laugh. What might make somebody else laugh might not make you laugh. That's just the way of the world. And that's that explains Joe Coy.
Right. Are you looking up like Mark McKinney recurring characters or something?
Yeah, it's Lucian Callow.
Thank you. Who was the
other Fagan?
Guy? Right.
Oh, SNLarchives.net is not loading.
Oh no! Have they been hacked?
Site can't be reached, guys.
Oh, boy.
We've said too much.
Garen, how are your migraines today?
Good.
Are they in check? I gave you some medicine.
Yes,
those help out at all?
Yeah. I took them after I got home, and they helped.
Good.
It was kind of like lingering, and today I feel 10 times better.
Great. So you're feeling better. Elliot's feeling better. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. I would have thought that Garen would have a mask on today with that migraine.
Yeah.
And by that, I mean like a Batman mask. I'm not necessarily a medical mask, but you know, he likes the comics.
Mm-hmm.
I did not see the Superman trailer. Does it look good?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Garen cried like a baby.
Oh, yeah. What the fuck? What, those migraines aren't solved then. You what?
It literally brought tears to my eyes.
Really?
Yeah.
When's it come out? The summer?
Yeah. July 11th?
That's what it said.
That's right.
7/11.
It's right before my birthday. Maybe I'll get a Slurpee and enjoy it.
I think you're going to like it. I think
the Chris Reeve one, although I think if I watched the Chris Reeve one today, I would think it's a snooze, but
I had that same experience. Loved it as a kid, watched it as an adult, and thought, I cannot believe how slow this is and how long it takes for Superman to show up.
Nah.
But this looks very much, very consciously like an homage to that.
Good.
Visually.
Because I think we need that after these dark Supermans.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And
that's what my friend, who's a huge comic book guy, my college roommate Jim, said. He texted me. He was like, this might be the Superman we need. Which I think he's probably right. I mean, by the time we get to summer, who knows where we're going to be as a country.
Oh, it might be the Wonder Woman of
right
of 2025.
Yeah.
It's David Koechner, by the way.
Another guy who seemed a little older than what you would expect for that,
but he wasn't. It just was his hair.
right That's a good point. He
went bald quickly, early.
Mm-hmm. Much like Lex Luthor.
Right, but it's our boy Nick Holt in that role, you tell me.
Yeah.
All right, well, I look forward to seeing that. I will see it. There's no
and a guy I've never
that.
Heard of or seen before as Superman. Has that guy done anything else? He must have, but I think he's kind of basically a newcomer.
But isn't that good? That's good.
It's good, yeah. I think that's the way you should do it.
You know, you cast somebody you know in that role that you're distracted all the time going...
Yeah.
He was in Twisters, apparently.
Oh, boy. Buddy of mine, I love that film. Who is he?
He's from Philadelphia. I thought he was from the UK.
He has a European look.
But he's from Philly, guys. Mm. He loves it. He goes and looks at that Rocky statue. He clangs that bell. He loves Philly. This
he was
guy.
In House of Cards, The Politician, Hollywood.
Huh. Name three
Pearl?
Things Jimmy Pardo has never watched.
Hollywood? What's that?
The Ryan Murphy movie or show.
I repeat, name three things Jimmy Pardo has never watched.
Sorry to interrupt you, Garen, but our guest is here.
I think we're okay.
He played Scott in Twisters.
Who? Oh, he played Scott?
He's played
Scott. Oh, Scott was good. I like Scott.
All right. I think, Scott was all right. I wasn't quite sure whose side he was on.
You're clear on what side?
I thought he might be siding with the Twisters.
You think he might have gone over to the other side?
Yeah, like he seemed like I saw him at one point, like everyone else is like running to their cars and he was like, and I was like, is he trying to juice these Twisters?
He's trying to juice a Twister. That's
wow.
Scott.
Ridiculous.
I mean, you guys think he was only good, but I say, great Scott.
Is that the kind of shit Irma likes?
Yeah, you want to call Irma? Bounce that off her, see how it flies?
I know what I did.
You set yourself up.
Oh, yeah.
To complete.
Yeah.
Fail.
Yeah.
You paused.
I know exactly what I did.
You took stance.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Unlike the banks, you are not too big to fail.
I think it's a smart move that Trump wants to get rid of the FDIC. I really do. I think
Wait, is that a thing he said?
I didn't hear that.
That's the thing. Yeah, he wants to...
Look, if it was anyone else but Trump, if a responsible person said, we've got a clean house, the bureaucracy is too complicated, there's a lot of cruft in there, big businesses are taking advantage of small businesses because they all of all the regulation that they use to get an advantage... I actually would be behind that.
Mm-hmm.
This whole thing's going to fall apart.
Yes, but getting rid of the FDIC protects our money.
Yeah.
And I don't want that to go away.
He doesn't like that because that means it's harder for him to take it from us.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't want my money to not be protected.
Yeah. All of the things that we have in the banking system were put in place because of the Great Depression and the stock market crash. And the wealthiest people... don't like that. They want people to gamble their money and whatever. So they've systematically taken away protection after protection mm-hmm. after protection.
It's a boring topic, but history has taught us that is ultimately bad for everyone.
Yeah.
Even the rich people.
Yeah.
Ultimately, it is bad for them. Society functions better when everyone prospers or as many people as possible can prosper. And it helps the rich people, too.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just not as fun, I guess, for them.
Well, there's a lot of people who think it's a zero-sum game. And that's not how there's more money in existence today than 100 years ago.
Right.
There just is.
Well, I know there is in this office.
Yeah.
What? I don't know. I don't even know what my fucking joke meant. Just me talking. That's all that was. I had a point, and it was a good one, but my brain and mouth both the...
Revolted
and went, we're out.
They went French Revolution on your words.
Yeah, I don't know what that means, but great.
Put your tongue in a guillotine.
Oh, I don't like that at all.
No, that's the worst.
It's a disgusting image.
Oh, God, could you imagine a tiny little guillotine and you got to put your tongue in it? That's like a scene from Saw or something.
Yeah.
And then they drop it and it just slices the tip of your tongue. Oh, my fucking God.
Hate it.
Awful.
Sorry I brought it up.
Awful. That's like that movie. What is that movie that we saw recently, Garen, where the kid didn't have a tongue? They cut the tongue off.
Speak No Evil?
Speak No Evil.
Which is fantastic movie. Good movie. Actually.
It's a good movie.
Yeah. That was when I saw the trailer. I think we talked about it. It's like, that looks good and I do not want to see it because it seems too creepy. I like every once in a while a good scary movie, but that's too real.
It was, it did have a too real vibe to it. It really
did.
Was that Nick Offerman?
That was not Nick Offerman.
No, it was James McAvoy.
You don't go to the movies as much as we do, so you didn't see that trailer every single time you went to the movie.
I did see it probably three times, though, and it was more than enough.
Yeah, it was a lot.
Because even the trailer was creepy.
It was a good movie. Good movie. There were some good movies this year.
Yeah.
And
huzzah to Hollywood.
I don't know how many. If I'm going to look at my list of movies, and I'm not going to at the moment because I don't have it in front of me, I don't know if there's a lot of clunkers. I don't know if there was a lot of clunkers.
That means you did a good job of choosing.
Yeah, but I see everything. So it's like, I don't know if I...
Oh, you definitely had a few where you came in here and you were like, you know, thumbs down, worst thing I've ever seen.
Oh, I did say that. You're right. There's got to be five clunks. Yeah.
I haven't had an opportunity to mention this, but Irma and I watched Dune 2.
Oh.
Yes.
Boring.
All right. Thank you. There's the review we were all waiting for.
Garen disagrees.
Garen loved it.
I haven't seen either of
those movies.
I've heard they're great. People say they're masterpieces.
I heard one of them is boring.
Well, so
I can see it. I'm not trying to discount what you said. I can see people thinking it's boring.
I mean,
it's straight sci-fi. It's not like a...
I think the poster bores me.
Here's the thing. Here's what Irma said. She watched the first movie before she came out here, and she was like, I didn't know what the hell was going on. And I explained what I knew about Dune, and she's like, oh, now I get that movie. The movie doesn't tell you what you need to know in order to understand it.
Hmm.
Like, you barely even know why the spice matters.
That's a real trick that artsy directors use to make you feel like you're not smart enough to appreciate it, to just not tell you stuff.
Yeah, but, like, there's important things that if you read the book, you would go, like, oh, yes, this is great.
Yeah.
And then, like, in the second movie, yeah, there were cool things, and it looked cool, but it was long.
Has she seen the David Lynch version?
Is that the one from 84?
Yeah, with Kyle MacLachlan
that
and
thing,
Sting.
I want to throw myself off a building. That's how boring that movie was. Soundtrack by who?
Not Sting, although Sting's in it.
I wanted to say Mark Mothersbaugh, but that doesn't... It's something more weird
than that. Not Philip Glass.
Nope.
Is it like Tangerine Dream or something?
It is not, but it is a band.
Oh.
Oingo Boingo?
Toto.
Huh.
If I'm not mistaken.
Wow.
Right? Was that the movie they did the soundtrack
for? Sounds familiar.
I believe you.
Oh, those now I fear I misspoke after I did the whole guess what it was
thing. They were hot off Thriller.
Toto. Well, they were hot off Toto,
I mean,
4.
Also Toto. But I mean, like, the writing team of Toto, Steve Lukather and that other guy.
Most of the album was composed by the rock band Toto.
Yeah, there we go. See?
With one track from Brian Eno.
And that all that said, by the way, boring soundtrack. Boring.
Mm-hmm.
Boring. If you're going in going, oh, it's a fun pop Toto sound. Nope, just boring.
I mean, I'm not surprised to hear that Toto could make something boring because I don't think their music is the most exciting thing of all time. But
they're doing a tour next year. It's it's at the Forum.
Uh-huh.
So some producer is very optimistic. Toto should not be headlining a tour. I'm just going to say that they should not. I know they're getting some heat because of the yacht rock thing happening, but Toto is not. They are not a main draw. They never have been. They are a great second. Journey and Toto.
Yeah,
is Chicago and Toto. It's Toto, Men at Work, and Christopher Cross. That's a nice Greek theater show.
Yeah, I would go to that.
That is not an arena show.
I don't care about Toto, but I like Men at Work a lot.
Yeah.
What was the other one?
Christopher Cross.
Christopher Cross. I like those hits.
Oh, he's great.
Yeah. But so here's the thing about Toto. Jimmy not playing, the three of us, can we name three Toto songs? I can name one.
Yeah.
Africa.
Sure.
Now, can we get two more?
There's one with the name of a lady.
Oh, Rosanna.
Rosanna.
Okay, two. We got two.
Yeah. And that's Garen. All I got.
Why are you pointing at me?
Because I came up with...
Thank you for the assist on that.
Africa 2.
Africa.
More Africa.
The rather hit was I'll Be Over You.
How's that go?
I'll be over you when the rain starts. No, that's not it.
That was the that's a Friends theme.
It's not that, Garen, but it's a good guess. They have done soundtracks, so that's a fair guess.
What's the theme from Dune? Theme from Dune.
The Pamela was another hit they had, a semi-hit.
They love lady.
They love the lady names. Pamela.
Don't know it.
Stranger in Town.
I guess if the average
I guess my point is Hold the Line is the other one you
Hold
would
the
know.
Line oh of course I forgot that
so
was them.
You would know that's the point with Toto, like that's why they're not a headlining band.
They should not headline if 50-year-old man
right.
who listened to Top 40 yes. as a kid doesn't know three songs, can't name three
that's
songs.
Right. Yeah. They are a great...
That's a problem for them.
They are a great Journey and Toto. And you go, holy shit, I'm seeing two great bands.
Yeah.
They are not... Toto, Men at Work, and Christopher Cross, they will not fill the forum.
Yeah.
Well, it feels like Men at Work should be the headliner there because...
Oh, no.
But they have like six songs that you know.
I'll say this. Yes. On paper,
so
they should
Toto.
Be.
Yes.
But... Colin Hay being the solo guy for as long as he has been and playing Largo kind of takes him out of being Men at Work being
exciting. You
know, they could do the YouTube theater. They couldn't do the forum.
It's funny because and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I do feel like for that 6 months to a year, Men at Work were huge.
Yeah.
Huge.
Huge when Cargo came out. Like, they were, you could have thought they could be U2. Like, U2 wasn't U2 yet, but they could have been U2.
And Cargo was their second album.
Right. But that wasn't that the one with, multiple hits on it?
Yeah, but the first album had multiple. The first album was still having hits.
Right.
They had already scheduled the second album.
Yeah.
So they had a mashup of hits all happening at once.
And it felt like, oh, these guys are going to dominate for 40 years.
And they dominated for about 4.5 months.
Why did they never, did they break up? Did Colin Hay move on?
Their third album's really good, but nobody cared. They just were music. You know, that's kind of when hair metal came in. That's like, it's kind of,
You too managed to find that lane. And
Wasn't it also like around Crocodile Dundee time? And so didn't that also give them a boost because it was very like Man Down Under? That's Australia. I mean, it was
borderline novelty hit.
But it didn't. I don't think it got any. I don't think the Paul Hogan vehicle.
Have you seen the poster for this concert tour?
Yeah,
it's inappropriate.
Put it up.
It's right? Way too like epic.
Well, that's their logo. That's Toto's logo.
Oh, okay.
And they always Steve Lukather is so busy trying to tell you Toto rocks. We're not a soft band.
Yeah.
It's like you're not a rock band. I mean,
that looks like the cover of a movie or like a poster for a movie that is like a big budget action, but it's actually one of those Christian movies that like a mega church produced.
What I was going to say is it looks like a Petra album cover.
Yeah,
it looks like a Christian rock album cover.
Yeah, there's something very, I don't know. Yeah. Like, is that the sort of Damocles or something? I don't know.
And make no mistake, by the way, I'll be at that show.
Yeah.
Of
room.
And I'll get bored. I get bored. Watch. I've seen Toto 5 times. They're boring.
Yeah.
They're not a headliner. They're fucking great, but they're not a headliner.
Do they ever cover any of those songs they wrote for Thriller?
No.
That'd be fun if they did.
No. No, they're probably trying to that Yacht Rock documentary aside. I'm guessing they're trying to distance themselves from Michael Jackson.
Yeah, I mean that's fair.
That would be I guess.
Who knows? Maybe they support him. He's like, no, he didn't do anything wrong.
You know what? Maybe, you're right. You never know. Speaking of not doing anything wrong, Mike Siegel has not done anything wrong other than wait patiently out in the hallway.
We have been making
So let's take a break. As we know, we're live streaming. We appreciate those folks that are listening in. And when we come back, Mike Siegel will join us, and we'll go around the horn. And we're trying to match Elliot and his sick brain.
Mm-hmm.
And by that, I mean, I don't mean sick and twisted like Ryan Reynolds and his...
from the sick brain of Elliot Hochberg. Yeah.
From the twisted mind of shut up. We're matching you. The letter is Q.
Yeah.
Dramas. We'll do all that when we come back right after this.
Hey, gang. Matt here with some dates for you. Mike Siegel's on Instagram @TravelTalesPodcast. Sure enough, that is the name of his podcast, Travel Tales. If you want to hear him talk about the many travels he's had around the world, and he talks to interesting guests about their travels around the world, good stuff over at the podcast place where podcasts live. Just go to any podcast catcher and type in Travel Tales. Also, he has a Dry Bar special. If you want to see him do a great hour of stand-up comedy, go to Dry Bar Comedy, and you can find his special there. I think you can get a free trial period to watch whatever you want over there without paying. But yeah, do that. That's good stuff. And then Jimmy is going to be doing stand-up in the Yoohoo Room at Flappers in Burbank on the 25th of January. It's his last show till April, so if you were thinking, hey, I want to see Jimmy do some stand-up in the local LA area in the beginning of, or really in the winter of 2025, that's your only chance. So do that and enjoy.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the program. So 35Q, the award-winning podcast, Never Not Funny. I'm taking my earbud out to itch my ear, and then I put it back in. That's how loose this show's gotten. We welcome you in. We've had some hot conversation at the break that the live stream folks got to enjoy. But in the break, more importantly, we were joined by my friend Mike Siegel, a longtime friend. We knew each other in Chicago, and we'd go and have lunch with Jimmy Dore on a regular basis. And Mike, when's the last time you had lunch with Jimmy Dore?
It's been a long time.
It's been a while, huh?
About 15 years, maybe?
Has it been? You think it's been 15 years?
Well, I mean, it's already 2024, so at least a decade. At least a decade.
I've not had a real conversation with Jimmy Dore since before the 2016 election.
Oh, wow.
So that's 9 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? So, right. Yeah, you might be right. When you say lunch,
lunch has
15
been a long
years.
Time. I had to see him at night, like when our old friend John Bongiorno came into town.
Yeah.
Wanted to meet up, and we met all at the Improv, and I went to a book signing, I think, that he had. But that was
Jimmy Dore at a book signing?
Maybe the last time I saw him.
Good Lord. What's that book? How to grift,
book.
How to grift and sell out?
Yeah. Well, this is, I don't know if he wrote another one since, but yeah, it was like maybe 2014, 15, something like that.
Wow.
And that might have been the last time.
Right. How to say you're left wing and in reality you're a redneck. What's the name of that book? Well, we wish him a lot of luck as we do all former funny people. Where do you think he's at right now? He's splashing around in Dennis Miller's hot tub. What do you think?
Right.
Greg Gutberg is a Gutfield. What's that fucking guy's name?
Gutfeld.
I thought that was the guy that was with Nicolas Cage in that movie that Nicholas Holt played. He played Gutfeld, didn't he?
Yep.
That's Dracula's assistant.
There you go.
Dracula's right-wing assistant.
Right. You got one on both sides. Well, what a joy. Mike Siegel is here. We welcome him in as we do on a regular basis. Mike and I golf every now and then. Not nearly enough.
Yes, we're due again.
We are due. We'll get out there.
Yeah, we played horrible last time.
Oh, I disagree. I think I came in here and said that we all lost minimum 15 ball. One for each year that we, right. Since lunch with Dore. Right? We lost about 15 golf balls each that day.
Oh, yeah. It was horrendous. And then I missed the big tournament this year because I was out of town.
You did.
And Chris Fairbanks slid in my place, therefore.
And we came
and
in first
well,
place.
Right? No, you
no, we did not. Chris Fairbanks, by the way, played golf as if he was on tour. And I mean this sincerely. For 11 holes, you would think, holy shit, Chris Fairbanks should be on the Nike tour or whatever. And then the wheels came off, and so did Chris's joy. Aww. He went from having fun to me literally going, Chris, it doesn't matter.
Oh,
we're not going to win. We're out here to laugh and have a good time. Right. Laugh and have a good time. And then he would laugh and have a good time, and then he wouldn't.
Do you tell him, literally, we come in last every year?
Yes.
And proudly.
Proudly.
That's our spot.
Yeah.
God damn it.
Yeah.
And don't you dare try to take it from us.
No.
We come to laugh, and that's it.
Yeah. That's it. Oh, man. But, yeah, I think last time we played, we lost a lot.
Yeah.
A lot of ball.
Not good.
The thing is, Chris Fairbanks strikes me as a naturally athletic or talented athlete. You know,
yes.
Like he's just probably good at whatever he tries,
mm-hmm.
and maybe competitive. I'm not sure I would have known he was a competitive guy, but I think when you're naturally good at sports, you're probably used to winning, and then when you don't, you're like, "What the fuck's wrong with me?"
He was also here's what it was, and this is what I could not drill into his head enough. He thought he was letting us down.
Yeah.
And to which I would say, do you see the three of us? Do you see what we're doing? You're not letting us down.
Yeah. You're propping us
you're
up, actually.
Yeah. Really?
He started playing golf, by the way, Christopher Banks, in the lockdown.
Yeah.
So he's only been playing a short period of time.
It?
And he's already great, to Matt's point. He's very athletic. He also is the best dressed out there.
Oh.
That's no shock to anybody.
Still crazy hair?
He had a hat covering it.
Okay.
So and a hat.
Is there a hat big enough for that hair?
It was perched up like he was
Oscar
in the,
Gamble style.
Yes, very good. That's of course from the mid 70s Oscar Gamble up at the White Sox and the Yankees.
Probably the best afro in baseball back then, right?
Oh,
Jose Cardinal was up there too.
Those are two nice afros.
Yeah, those are good afros.
Yeah, those guys knew how to do it. I yelled at Jose Cardinal in a positive way once at a White Sox game. I wanted to ask him. We had a bet. Me and the other guys I was with, we had a bet on what his career batting average was. And so I went down to the dugout to ask Jose Cardinal. He ignored me the first three times and then realized I wasn't being a dick.
Oh.
And then went, I didn't realize you had a real question. I batted, blah, blah. And then he was a nice guy. And I came back and I forget who won the bet. I want to say 279 career.
I was going to say 270 something. He was not known for his bat. Good fielder, not known for the bat.
Yeah, and more for a Chicago favorite.
Sure.
More than like a national favorite.
I knew him. He was number one. He was always, that was his uniform number. Number one.
Number one. So was Lance Johnson for the White Sox. Garen, what was Jose Cardinal's career batting average?
273. That's
I'm saying
I'm
279.
With.
Matt, you don't even know the player. Or do you have a guess based on everything we just said?
I'll say 271.
271. Elliot, any sick guess?
281.
281, too high.
I think anything, it's probably going to be lower.
It's going to be, it might be 268. Like, it's not great.
Yeah.
What is it, Garen? Jose Cardinal.
Google's telling me, despite Cardinal's many outbursts and his bizarre injury history, he compiled a 275 career batting average.
I said 273.
What did I say, 279? So we're all, we were certain. You said 277.
No, I said 271.
And fives. What do I win?
You get nothing. We're not paying you off.
Damn it. Damn it.
Well, we wish Jose Cardinal luck. He was
wish him a lot of luck.
Last time I saw him, he was a coach, first base coach for the Yankees.
Michelle Obama's favorite player.
Is that true?
When they won the World Series, they went to the White House and everything, and she would say how, you know, when Obama was giving the speech and say, and Jose Cardinal's here, like Michelle's favorite player back in the day.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It was the most press he ever got.
Yeah, imagine that. Like, yeah. I don't care about your batting average. Just to be the first lady's favorite baseball player is a crazy trivia thing to have.
Well, how do you think Alan Bannister feels knowing that he's my favorite player?
He's got to be walking on air.
Right? Do you think he knows? Do you think somebody ever told Alan Bannister, hey, this podcaster, you're his favorite player of all time?
I don't know if those circles ever overlap.
Should be in Wikipedia, though.
Being in the South suburbs, we had like some White Sox players by us. I think Ed Farmer lived
Ed Farmer
far.
Lived in Orland Park. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I think he was around in the neighborhood. And maybe Eric Soderholm.
Soderholm was also from the South Side. Yeah.
And I think Soderholm sold insurance.
He sold, he was the first guy to do a quote-unquote legit ticket resale business.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah, he was the first guy to do that. It may not have been legit originally.
Yeah. But so it was weird to think that StubHub. Was still like the end of the era where they still had like jobs in the off season.
Right.
Like sold cars. Crazy. And stuff.
Yeah.
It was so weird. Wild.
Yeah, Greg Pryor sold cars. And that's bizarre. They had to have a second job.
Yeah.
And it's on not top like, of being baseball players.
Right. It's not like he had his own dealership like the way like John Elway started.
Correct.
Chain.
Yeah,
it's like, no, he worked at a dealership. No,
you would show up at the Datsun dealership and you go, hi, I'm Greg. Let me, and you go, wait, are you Greg Pryor? Well, let's show you the car. Like,
right.
Wouldn't want to.
I mean, that's a good
it.
Sales thing. Like if you got a White Sox fan on the lot, you go, hey, go talk to him. Mm-hmm. He'll be excited to talk to you.
I would probably, I would.
Yes.
Buy a car from Greg Pryor.
Just to say you did it.
Right. We make fun of a guy. Mike Schmidt does all the time. There was a guy that was in our fantasy baseball league once years and years ago. He bought their deck because Willie Gault worked there. And so, yeah, we got the deck. You know, it's Willie Gault's place. Like, is that the reason to buy a deck? Because Willie Gault is a salesperson here?
I've told the Willie Gault story on here.
If you have, tell it again. If you haven't, tell it for the first time.
I was in an acting class with a woman who was dating him for years. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. I don't think they were married, but they were living together. They were together for a long time. And they had a party at their house, which was over here in the valley. And it went there, and there's a gold record on the wall.
Oh,
and I go over there. It's the Super Bowl Shuffle.
Yeah.
He's up there. He's got the gold record. Yep. It's like, amazing. Yeah, they all got gold records for it.
He was also an Olympian, was he not, Willie Gault?
With the
bobsled?
Yeah.
That's weird.
He went on that. He was always known for, like, he was, and still, like, in his 50s, in better shape than we've ever been.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he could, like, beat 20-year-olds running.
Remember, his thighs were the size of my abdomen.
Yeah. Like, and he would do, like, these senior track events and stuff like that, and still, you know, he was, like, an amazing shape.
How does girlfriend do acting? Was she any good?
Nice lady. Nice. Nah, nice
you know
lady.
What? I'm a nice man. I'm not putting anybody down.
She was fine. Yeah, we were all fine. You know,
her as name much was Meryl Streep.
Yeah. That Let's woman was J-Lo.
Very rarely can you tell in an acting class if somebody's good. Like, you can go, oh, somebody has to really stand out to go, oh, man, that guy's got it. Because everybody's in an acting class. You're kind of learning. And
we're doing scenes. And she was fine. I was fine. And we all, you know,
we're
out of the business.
Right? Exactly.
And we're all out of the business.
Well, we aged out. We certainly do. That's why I'm going to be having lunch with Alan Bannister soon and tell him that he's going to be 80. How old would Alan Bannister? If I'm 58, he's 68. He's 75, Alan Bannister. Sure. That's my guess.
You know, standard boomer age.
Yeah. I think he just got an award of some sort from his college.
Okay.
Like, you know, like Alan Bannister. Some athlete, you know, lifetime achievement award or something. But I got to see him someday. Just let him know that. His barely average career did not go unnoticed.
Yeah. I remember when I was covering sports out of college, and I would cover a lot of high school and junior college and stuff like that. You would know, like if you had heard going to a game, oh, this one kid's got a lot of heat on him from colleges and stuff. And no matter the sport, you didn't have to tell me the name. Like, they stand out so much more than the other kids. They're like, oh, it's that kid.
Right
there. Yeah. It's like, that's him. And it was always, yeah. I mean, and I remember the Mr. Baseball, one of the years I was covering it, was Cliff Floyd, who was from Thornton or something.
Was Cliff Floyd from Thornton?
Like Thornridge or something like that.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, TF South or one of those.
What does Cliff Floyd have to say about that, Elliot?
Yeah.
We got any thoughts on this?
Uh-oh.
A classic legacy segment on Never Not Funny. Cliff Floyd would host a radio show?
Yeah, fantasy baseball radio show. And as a reminder, Cliff Floyd's great advice was, you want to have a great team, you got to draft the best players. Thank you, Cliff.
Thank you, Cliff.
Invaluable advice.
That's insider insight.
Well, listen, he played the game, guys.
He played the game.
He understands it a way we never will.
This guy knows what he's talking about.
I remember that year looking at the stats and stuff like that. I mean, right. It was unreal. He hit over like 600 and something like home runs every game. It was ridiculous.
We always talk on this show about the guy, like the guy in high school who was the best player in high school, still wasn't good enough.
Yeah.
Like, that guy was the best. He still was not good enough to make the bigs. Like, people were better than, like...
That's why...
My high school... Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just going to say, like, having a kid who plays soccer now, like, you sometimes end up around parents who take it way too seriously. I'm like,
yeah.
You don't even know how far all of these kids are.
None of them are making it.
It's like they're not even going to make it to Division I college. Like, you would know by now. Like, like you were saying, you would see it immediately. They would be tearing teams apart by themselves.
And the people who run the private club teams and stuff would be all over them and stuff. And they'd already be in like an academy thing.
Exactly, yeah.
But yeah, we had, there was a player at my high school. My high school won state football like 10 years ago or something, like 15 years ago. And we never won ever. But somehow I found it on TV. I don't remember. I was just sitting home flipping through, and it was like, how I'm getting Illinois High School championship.
Right.
What channel is this? And they were playing. And there was one player that he played both sides of the ball. He was recruited by everybody. And it took me like a minute watching the game. Oh, there he is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he was incredible. And he went to Ole Miss and actually did really well. And it was drafted number one. He was a wide receiver. Laquan Treadwell was his name. And made it to the pro. Total bust.
Oh, is that right?
Wow.
And he went to the Vikings, I think, in the first round and beat by, like, lost his spot to a guy who was like a walk-on, this white guy. It was a Mark Thielen or something like that.
Don't look at me.
Beat him out.
He's looking at you like you follow football for
second. I'm walking to the, talking to the wrong guy.
He talks of football.
Soccer, we'll be here all day. Believe me, Matt and I will bore you with the soccer
talk. And you will not.
Yeah, does Chelsea sweater on?
I said he will not.
Okay. Yeah. Let's talk about it.
I get to wear that like once a year because it'd be insane to wear a Christmas sweater at any other occasion at a party.
LAFC,
I got my LAFC sweater.
They choked it this year, but all right, we're done. Mm-hmm.
They weren't great though. I mean,
yeah.
Sad.
Well, wish you guys luck next year.
Thank you. We need a creative midfielder, Jimmy. Do you know anybody? Mm-hmm.
Alan Bannister. He played the infield for the White Sox, occasionally the outfield. We had one guy, it was years after me, Oak Forest High School had a good baseball team. They always did.
Oh, yeah. And we used to lose to you all the time.
The great Randy Sienna was the coach.
Yeah.
He was the guy that I said used to go, and the rest of you guys going out to the preserves doing your marijuana. Like, okay, Randy. No, was it Randy Sienna? I don't forget. I might get the coach right. Anyhow, a couple of years later, a guy from Oak Forest went played for the Toronto Blue Jays.
Okay.
And I believe he was the one that came out of the south suburbs and make the MLB, because you don't play year round.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
It's a pretty miraculous feat.
I did have a kid that I grew up with who was a year younger than me. Made it to he went played basketball. He was amazing. He went to Duke. And it was pretty well known there, and he got drafted, and he played a couple of years in the pros, and that was as close as we got.
What was that guy's name?
Phil Henderson.
Phil Henderson.
Since passed away, and I don't know how.
That guy sells insurance. That guy's not a basketball player.
Who did he play for
in
the NBA?
Henderson.
I believe the Mavericks, maybe a couple years. A couple years, and he was out.
Yeah. You know? In the, like, 80s or early 90s?
Early 90s.
Yeah.
Early 90s. So,
Garen, do me a favor. Go to Wikipedia. Go to Oak Forest High School. Look up notable alumni. And tell me this kid's name, Jason. I want to say it's Jason something. And give me the other notable alumni from Oak Forest High School, just out of curiosity.
Other than Jimmy Parker.
Other than, include me if I'm on that list. couldn't hurt to hear it.
You got Bob Odenkirk?
Bob Odenkirk went to your school?
No, he didn't.
Not Odenkirk. No, that guy. No. Yeah, there's another guy. Well, there's Steve Odenkirk.
Yeah, who's this guy?
He's the mayor of Joliet, Illinois.
Okay. Notable alumni.
Yeah.
Tim Burdick? Burdick?
Tim Burdick is a pitcher that pitched his, it was not, what did I say, Randy something? I said Jason something, because there isn't, I guess there's two. Tim Burdick was a pitcher for the Blue Jays as well?
He was a pitcher relief pitcher. For the Royals, the Orioles, the Tigers, the Astros.
He bounced around.
Wow.
He just couldn't land with the team. He wasn't good enough.
Laquan Treadwell has played for 8 teams already.
Yeah, it was like in a practice squad, then he'd be picked off waivers. Man.
Is he still out there? Like,
He's on the Colts now.
Okay. Go back to
is he really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Yeah. Jason Frazier.
That's the name I was thinking of, Jason Frazier.
Huh. He's also a relief pitcher.
He was really good. He was really good. Tim Burdick was
for the Royals.
Was good. Go ahead.
Rick Greinke.
I don't
also
know.
A pitcher?
Don't know that name at all.
Someone named Jimmy Pardo?
What's he do? He's also a pitcher, is he not?
It says professional comedian.
Mm-hmm. Notable alumni.
Yeah. Threw out first pitch.
You know what? I threw it out
that
the
was
first
one,
pitch.
One pitch on an MLB field.
Two?
Oh, that's right. You did twice.
2012 and 2021.
Kylie Ray?
I don't know who that is.
Professional wrestler. His name is Total Nonstop Action Wrestling.
Okay, so,
oh, God.
So, no.
Tevin Coleman?
Who?
Tevin Coleman, American football running back, plays for the Jets.
Oh, good for him.
Hey. Hmm.
Kyle Funkhauser.
What does Kyle do? Oh, he's a baseball player as well, right?
Yeah. You want to guess what his position is?
Pitcher.
He's a pitcher.
Jesus. This guy, Randy Sienna, had a skill.
pitching machine.
Really? That's a cranking factory over there.
Robbie Avila.
Bobby.
2022.
What does he
Come
do?
Come on, Bobby.
Babu.
He currently plays basketball at Indiana State University.
I see.
In the Sycamores.
Where he became a viral sensation during the 2023-2024 season.
Oh.
For what?
For throwing a basketball, I guess.
Thank you, Gary.
Mike Stoklasa. Get these names.
No, we get a lot of polls.
He's the founder of Red Letter Media on YouTube.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I know what that is.
That? I've heard of that.
That's the most famous thing they have is how they take down the prequels. They do like 2.5 hour.
Yeah.
Comedic takedowns.
It's that
of,
guy who it started out with just like one cranky guy in a basement.
Yeah.
Just like ripping into George Lucas for.
And is
like,
it this guy?
I don't know. Is that the main guy? Because it's a whole organization.
Now.
He's the first one listed.
Oh, so
people, Mike Stoklasa.
It was really funny. Like the one that he did about Star Wars Episode One was funny and very good. Like it was
good film criticism.
Yes, like he really got to the core of why that fucking movie sucks in a way that like almost doesn't deserve it. Like it's like you don't need
but
to put
your
this
brain
much energy.
Knows.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Garen.
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, you know who doesn't make that cut for some reason? Bill Leff and Gary Meyer. Why are they not included?
Really?
One would argue that those would be the first two names on there, considering they're big stars in Chicago.
Yeah, Gary Meyer especially. Cool. And Bill's still on TV there.
Two shows.
Two?
Yeah, he's on the kids show, MeTV, whatever it's called.
TV and Me or You.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Yeah.
Oh, Jeff Babko's son watches it. or did. He probably aged out of it, but it was like, you know, it basically was Ray Rayner, cartoon show, and Bill would introduce it. And Bill is now the, I'm gonna mangle this. He's on Svengoolie.
Oh, wow.
But he's not, Nostalgia Raftu?
Oh, my God.
Something like that. Did I say that right?
That makes sense.
You know, because Bill's so, you know, caught in the 70s. Nostalgia Raftu, I think.
So it's a combination of Nosferatu, the vampire, and Nostalgia.
And he's got that look. He looks like...
Oh, really?
Yeah. So
I gotta see this.
So he's on with Rich Kaz as Svengoolie. So Bill is on that.
Nostalgia Feratu.
Nostalgia Feratu.
It's incredible that Svengoolie's still in the air.
Yeah, because it was unwatchable when we were kids.
Yes!
It was horrible.
It's awful. We didn't know, though.
Right.
Like, it's cool.
That was Jerry G. Bishop back in the day.
It was a different guy?
Oh, yeah. Rich Kaz took over. He's the son of Svengoolie.
Oh, right.
And he dropped the son of as he became, you know, 75 years old. but yeah, it was Jerry G. Bishop was the original Svengoolie in Chicago. I think is that like a bozo? Did every city have their own Svengoolie?
I always wondered that.
Doing their own creature features and...
I mean, I didn't have
it. New York have something like that?
You had to have a guy introducing scary movies.
I got Albany stations where I grew up, so I don't know if the city had something, probably, but I never got to see that.
Wow, get that breaking Albany news.
Yeah.
Well, this is the capital, is it not?
Yeah. It is. Chris Capostasi. Well, her name is something. Chris Jenner?
Chris Jansing.
Chris Jansing, who's on NBC.
MSNBC.
MSNBC, yeah. She started out as a co-anchor on the channel. What was it? Channel 13? Weirdly, Channel 13 was NBC there. Usually 4 is NBC.
Yeah.
It's 13.
5 is Chicago.
Yep. And we saw Oprah in her starting out days.
Yeah. And if you look at those clips, you'd go, she ain't going to make it.
I know.
You go, right? Oh, that's fine. She'll be okay. Like, yeah, local. She's good for local. And then something happened.
What was the deal? She was subbing for Donahue or she filled in the Donahue spot?
Yeah.
Yeah. And Donahue was massive.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
Just passed away. We lost him. Mm. Marlo's doing okay.
Oh, good. Glad to hear it.
It's only going to be a matter of time.
You mean that girl?
Ha ha! Good pull.
What?
Good pull. Donald.
Hi, Bill F. TV and me. What?
He knows it. He knows all that
he knows
shit.
That, all of it. Yeah. Nicest man in show business.
Is he? Is he nicer than Henry Winkler?
Mm. Or Weird Al?
Or Weird Al, Tom Hanks?
Weird Al.
Bill
F.
is close.
He's up there.
But Bill Leff will also maybe gossip a little bit. I don't see Weird Al gossiping.
No.
Right?
He's too nice.
Could you imagine Weird Al, like, you're at a party and Weird Al goes, I gotta tell you something about this fucking guy.
Yeah, never.
It's never happening.
Never.
He's gonna do it to you in song.
Yeah, that's right. He'll write a record.
I was trying to figure this out the other day. Does Weird Al have a Christmas album? And if he doesn't, why not?
That's a great question. I don't think so, but you're right. That's a
that
real
seems
missed
like a
opportunity,
no-brainer, right?
Because he doesn't even need to get because you always ask for permission.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have to.
For standards. I mean, you don't.
Right?
You know who had a Christmas? I don't know if it was a whole album, but I heard on one of the SiriusXM Christmas stations yesterday. Remember the band Fun?
Sure.
Yeah.
With that horrible
fun
song.
Fun with a period.
Yeah.
Tonight. They had a Christmas song.
Wow.
And for all I know, a whole album. So if
for all I know.
If they could do it, then Weird Al certainly.
So I have a question about this, though.
About what? Weird Al?
Weird Al doing a Christmas album. I think there's two options here, or a mixture of both. One is parodies of Christmas songs.
Yes, that's what I want from Weird Al, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
But the other is Christmas parodies of other kind of songs.
Oh,
I like that, too. You're saying instead of like a surgeon, he'll figure out a way to make that into a Christmas
like a Virgin
yes.
Mary. Like,
hey, sure.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
I like that.
It writes itself.
I feel like a mixture of those two things.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
That's a great way to go.
Where do we contact him?
I mean,
you have his email.
Should I email him?
You get an electronic
or just
card.
I just got my
card.
Christmas card.
Yeah, just send him a message. Say, why didn't you ever do a Christmas album? Unless Garen's about to tell us he did.
He didn't. He has Christmas songs.
Oh, he does?
Christmas at Ground Zero, I think, is a famous one.
I don't remember that.
That actually sounds familiar.
Is that about 9/11?
I think so.
It may have predicted it.
He is weird.
It was on Polka Party, I think it was.
I believe
on.
It.
He has Night Santa Went Crazy, Happy Birthday, Weasel Stomping Day, and Christmas at Ground Zero, according to this Reddit thread from a year ago.
All right. So he's dipped his toe in and he gets
maybe
it.
He just doesn't care. Like, maybe he's not a Christmas guy. He just doesn't into it.
Yeah. I've never seen him live. You have?
Yeah, I saw him at the Hollywood Bowl.
Wow.
And with Oliver, when Oliver was really into him. And it was, it's great fun.
I'm sure it is.
I mean, the band, he's got, He's in LA, so he's got the best session guys in town. You know the band's going to be hot. And, you know, he brought Chris Hardwick out to everybody's confusion.
Lukather up there? It seems like, I heard some Lukather talk.
Luke stops by.
He's got to sit in.
I just heard a Luke solo on a song off Chicago 14 on my drive-in. And I was thinking about, like, Toto was hot in the 80s, and he still was doing session work.
Yeah.
Like, he was a White Sox player. He's already in the majors. Right. And he goes still selling a car with Chicago.
Imagine hearing him play the guitar on Eat It, because he played, other than the solo, he played the guitar and Beat It.
Played the other parts, yeah.
Yeah.
Toto, aren't they through that whole album, pretty much?
Yeah. And they wrote half of it, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
A good portion of it.
He wrote Human Nature, I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Steve Picaro wrote that, yeah.
Oh.
I don't think they wrote as much as you think.
I think they played on it. Yeah.
And they may have written Human Nature, co-wrote Human Nature and one other one, if I'm not mistaken.
Maybe the Girl Is Mine or something? Or that, actually, Paul McCartney probably wrote that.
Did you see the viral clip of Lukather go out in his yard pissing off the neighbor?
No.
Like, he was in a spat with a neighbor or something. So he went out and just cranked his amp and just ripping a solo in his bathrobe. Yeah, it's great.
He was in this very room, right?
You spent time with him. And because he was in this very room, I know a very weird fact about Steve Lukather, which is his ex-wife lives a block away from here.
Oh, really?
or at least used to. Yeah, when he was in here, he was like, yeah, my ex-wife lives around the corner.
That's a nice neighborhood.
Yeah, it is.
It is.
Right? It's got some Toto money over there.
Been a while since I've been here because there's a whole building there that wasn't there last time.
Wait, that building was not here the last time you were here?
Not that I remember. I was a construction zone.
What do you think of the look of that building, Mike?
It doesn't seem to fit in with the neighborhood.
At all, right?
No.
It doesn't fit anywhere. It's just a really ugly, nondescript box.
It's not great.
No.
When you see the architecture, like near my house, they're doing, and near Elliot's house, they're doing way too much building in our neighborhood. Way too much. And it's, again, ruining traffic.
Sure.
But the buildings, at least, are pretty sharp looking. Mm.
They're fancy.
They're fancy.
Like, clearly a lot of money was spent just on the architecture. Mm.
And this ain't it.
Like, when I was coming, I was coming to your Latsalatka's party on Sunday from the south, because we were in Irvine, and I hadn't been to your house from that direction in a while, and just seeing the skyline has changed in the last 10 years.
Yeah, I was coming from the south, too.
It's crazy.
Yeah,
that Cumulus building, which is, I believe,
bizarre,
18 stories tall, or whatever it is, it blocks the view. I don't know how that was allowed. I don't know how the HOAs in the neighborhood allowed it, because it blocked the view of the hill.
Well, what's happening now is the same thing that was happening, because I was near the corner of La Brea and Wilshire, where they're extending the subway.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. So anything around a subway stop or a train stop, they want people to live.
Yes. Yeah.
So they've changed all the zoning. So these massive buildings are going up. If you take it from Santa Monica all the way downtown, it's just a corridor of giant,
of just
huge
giant buildings,
high-rises,
condos
that never would have been approved before.
Right.
But they're thinking, like, oh, people would just live there and not own a car. It's like, okay, they're still going to have a car.
Yeah.
And
it's
now,
a pipe dream.
It's a whole thing, but they haven't figured out that people's jobs don't let them take the train to go to them.
You have to work a job that's right next to the train.
Exactly.
Like, that's so unlikely that you would both live and work right by a stop.
You need to be a lawyer. Lawyers really.
I guess if you're going
to the Santa Monica courthouse, or you go to the Temple Street courthouse, then you're right on that train.
Yep.
That's
the USC students are taking it, and then people who work in the Culver City, the new YouTube studio, and all that stuff.
Oh, I could tell you they're not taking the train.
Oh, no.
Okay. They are. It takes. From Elliot's house, which is 1.5 miles, takes me about 25 minutes.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And it used to take 4.
I know.
It's stupid. I know that the listener hates when we talk about traffic, but it is 7 minutes towards the hour, before the hour. That's what we do time. That's what we do weather and traffic.
7 and 7.
Weather traffic on the 7th.
Yeah, on the 7th.
I'll ask you the same question I ask others. So it's a brand new building. Do you want to be the first person living in that building? Are you comfortable being there's nobody else in there.
Are these condos or apartments? I mean, it's probably an apartment.
I believe they're apartments.
I believe they're apartments. For lease. For lease, not for sale. Yeah,
it's a busy corner. It's like...
You're the first person in there. So everything else is, it's quiet. It's a
run of
the ghost town. Do you like that?
I don't mind. I'd rather have an empty... if it's a good building, I don't want neighbors.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Fine.
But do you know they're coming? That's the thing.
And you know it's going to be way overpriced.
We learned.
How much are those?
4,000 or something.
Four?
Fucking crazy, yeah.
For like a two-bedroom?
Yes.
Oh, it
may
ridiculous.
Have been 3,000 something for
I think there were singles
two,
and doubles.
And up to maybe there was a three bedroom that was 4,000. It was absurd, whatever it was.
Yeah. Oh, God.
They just built up a building right down the street from me that's three units. It's three like townhouses.
Yes.
Mm. In the middle of, well, Sherman Oaks, but in no. that part.
You're not Chicago. You're in Van Nuys. Shut up. We know where you
but,
live.
But is that building really in Sherman Oaks?
No, it's so closer to Valley. It's
the
Valley
other direction.
Glen. It's Valley Glen. Yeah, it's. But why would you build an apartment building with three units?
Because that's all the room you have?
Yeah, I guess, but that just seems silly.
Could they fit like six on there or something?
Yeah,
probably.
What do you want them to do, Gary?
Well, they're three-floor townhouses.
Beautiful. Get it in. Hmm.
I would. It's a nice-looking building, but in this area, it's
like, yeah,
it's
who would spend whatever that's going to cost
$1 million
to be in that location?
Bottom.
Minimum.
That's the word I was looking for.
Bottom.
Is it bottom?
It's $1 million. Bottom.
It's bottom. Mike Siegel is here. He's taking time away from pushing, doing push-ups. You work out every day, huh, Mike? You hit the gym every
no,
day?
No, not every day.
Every other
I
day?
Try to. I walk a lot.
Yeah?
I try to do the 10,000 steps a day thing.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That number that they admitted they just kind of pulled out of thin air.
Yeah. But I know it's a good number for me
sure.
in terms of time and everything else, and
yeah.
I'm about done after about 10,000.
How long?
It's plenty.
You do it all at once?
Usually, I mean, yeah.
How long does that take you?
If
and
I
how
do
far
it straight,
is that?
It's I don't know, like 3 miles or something like that.
I
maybe
think it's,
so that's about
maybe
an hour.
Four.
Take about an hour and a half, maybe.
All right, that's closer to closer to four than I would say.
Depends.
You do it all at once though?
It depends. I have a dog. No.
Oh.
Well, my girlfriend has a dog,
what
and
kind of
I
dog?
Inherited this dog.
Uh-huh.
It's like 45 pounds. It's, you know, medium-sized dog.
What's
like
the dog's name?
Gracie.
Gracie, you love it.
Yeah. So, and she's loving me because, like, I take long walks, and this dog never had it so good.
Nice.
But now the problem
Piper
is...
Piper ignored the dog for years.
Well, her walks are, like, down to the park to, you know, do her business, and then right there.
Right.
And I'm like, hey, let's go. Here we go. Pop on the podcast. Listen to a little Never Not Funny.
You're welcome.
Nice.
And hello.
Happy
we're gone.
Help.
And this dog's loving it. But if I can make it to the beach and back, and that's about 10,000 steps. If that will take about an hour and a half. But we got to stop for her to drink water and that kind of thing. But,
yeah.
But walking with a dog is always slower because they want to sniff every fucking thing.
Yeah, no, that's
like
bad.
I find that with my dog. Like I can do, if I'm just walking for exercise, I usually do like 16-minute miles. But with the dog, it's like 22-minute miles.
Right.
It's ridiculous.
And I'm picking up crap.
Well, that
which
too.
I never thought pictured myself doing.
Right.
But here I am.
But you put, you know, psychologically, you just go, okay, I have to do this. And you just sort of do it. And you don't think about
now
what
I'm
you're
over
actually
it, but
doing.
But at first I was like, what's happening here?
Mm. At least you do it. There's
I do it.
Assholes that don't.
Oh,
it's true.
Yeah.
It's infuriating.
Don't want to be that guy.
It truly is infuriating. It's like you know you're supposed to.
The worst is when it's in the middle of the sidewalk.
Oh,
it's
dude!
Oh, yeah.
You're paying so little attention.
You know what I do in
your
that case?
Your dog copped a squat in the middle of the sidewalk, and you didn't even see it.
Here's what I here's how I rationalize so that I don't explode and blow up a building. Mm-hmm. It's a coyote. And then
sure,
I go,
I guess
that's
always
a coyote.
Because
a person would not do that. A person would clean up.
Or in some neighborhoods, that is a person.
Who, that's also possible.
Could be a person.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
And that person needs help. So I think, you have a little sympathy for someone who can't.
Well, sometimes Danielle and Oliver are both using the bathrooms in our house, so I got to go. So, I mean, you know, it's, and the sidewalk, at least I know where it's landing. I don't want to step into the grass accidentally.
Well, it makes it easier to pick up, for sure. It
sure does.
Which you don't do, but still, if someone else has to do it.
I leave it there as a souvenir.
I will say, when I had my old place, when I would watch people, like their dog would go in my yard and I would just be furious.
Yeah.
And I would see him from the window walk away. I just went, hey, pick up your shit. Pick up your shit. And all the time they would just
walk.
Did
you put up a fence? Was that an option?
Couldn't do it from what's the area between the sidewalk and the curb?
I call that the median. I don't know if that's the right
apron
word.
Maybe. Yeah.
There's
it was always there.
Another word for it. Mm-hmm.
Like they would, they were more conscientious if they were
right.
Like closer to the house, but
because
that part
like,
seemed to be like a no man's land.
Right. You're like, do you even own this? Who knows?
It's the city property.
Here's the weird part.
I know I got to mow it. I know that.
We're responsible for it,
yes.
But it is the city's property.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
Oh,
that
really?
The
yeah.
Law. That
that's the
law.
Weirdness. We have to, in fact, if the sewer line goes under it, we have to, you have to take care of that.
Right.
But the city owns it. It's very bizarre.
Because you had to do that, right?
Yeah.
I had to do it too with my last house when we first moved in. It was like, it was all clay.
Oh, okay.
You know, the pipe, the main from the house to the sidewalk. And yeah, you have to get a permit and dig it up. And it's like, it's that little spot where like, this isn't really even mine.
Right. Yeah. Should the city be doing this? No, you think that they would. And then the guy who was doing the work will then sit you down for 45 minutes to explain it to you.
Right.
And you're just like, you could be doing it now. I don't need to know the history of sidewalks.
So if a homeless guy just pitches a tent right there, do you have a beef? I mean, do you have to call the city? Or
I don't know.
Is that
that's
your property?
A great question. I guess like...
And a legit question.
I think
in LA,
that case, the cops would be able to help you, even though it's, you know, technically your responsibility. But it's like, yeah, but I'm not like a... What am I supposed to do with that?
Right.
Like, I'm not equipped to handle this situation.
And clearly, somebody's keeping an eye on that, because that's not happening.
Right.
We're not seeing tents being pitched there. Right?
A van pulls up in front of your house, and then they, you know,
and they're there for a week and a half.
Set up a lawn chair, right?
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope.
You've had that? I've had that.
Luckily, we have an homeowner association that...
oh, really?
Not 100% sure what they do, but they make sure that doesn't happen.
Okay.
And they are on it. Mm. And they're also on it if you want to paint your house.
Oh.
And you don't.
Notes for you?
If you don't alert them in advance, you get a $1,000 fine.
Whoa.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
Right?
Wow.
To which I argued at the meeting. I was like, it's my house.
Yeah.
It's my house.
But what you notify them and then they just go, yeah, go ahead.
No, if they don't approve the color, they'll say,
I hate that. Come
back with a different color. Different.
That's ridiculous.
I believe, in fairness, I believe the house painting thing has changed. I know you used to need a permission also to change, like if you're going to get new windows.
Mm.
Any work done, you had to get permission. And I was like, if I need new windows, I'm getting new windows. I'm not waiting 35 days for you to see it and then approve it and then another 30 days.
Yeah.
I'm doing it. Well, you might get fined. Then fine me.
Right.
I'm not waiting 60 days to fix my windows.
Also, I guess, like, what if you just said, I'm getting the exact same look that I already had? Can you just give me the green light so I don't have to wait a month?
I don't know the answer to that.
I hear they had a problem with your menorah. Was that a problem with the menorah?
Yes, because it's a black neighborhood.
Yeah,
we're confused by it.
Yeah, what is that?
Exactly. Yeah.
I will tell you this on this behind a paywall. I've got no permission to do anything.
have you asked?
No, I just do it.
Yeah.
I just do it.
I see what you're saying.
And
I
see, like, you know, you get the newsletter and they'll say, address has requested, you know, solar panels, blah, blah, blah. The board has approved. And I'll go, oh, that's my neighbor here. Oh, so everybody around me follows the rules.
Nah. Huh.
I stand by if my windows need to be replaced, I'm not waiting 60 days. And if you want to find me, find me.
Right. But that's odd. I didn't know that was a homeowner association there.
Yeah.
You're like the Allen Iverson of that neighborhood.
Nah.
I don't know what that means.
He was always getting fined for skipping practice or skipping media day or whatever. Like, he's very contemptuous of the rules of the NBA.
We're talking about practice.
Yeah, he had the famous speech.
it's that guy. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where they were mad.
Yeah,
they were asking him in the press conference, and he was just like, I score 35 points a game. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah. by the way, I'm not a person who thinks I'm above the rules. I certainly follow the rules. Mm. I just feel in this case, if a window breaks and I need to fix it, I'm not waiting.
Right. Yeah. Better to ask for forgiveness than permission.
Yeah. In this case, yeah.
I brought cookies, guys.
Hey. I'll have one. What kind did you bring?
Toll House. Can we agree that Toll House may be in the top three cookies of all time?
It depends if it's soft and chewy or is it crunchy?
It's a soft and chewy.
I'm out.
You're out?
I love a soft and chewy.
Okay.
And I do not.
Yeah. My girlfriend made these. And
oh, she made them?
Yeah, yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Then I'll try. She made them. I'll try one, certainly.
And we have to get these out of the house. I said yes. I was on my way to Never Not Funny. Take some cookies. All right.
Mike, I don't know if you stepped into our kitchen here. There's a bunch of cookies that I brought from my house.
Oh, yes. Still there?
It was like,
same reason.
I got to get these out of the house. I can't. If they are there, they will not be there.
I thank God I don't have a sweet tooth. And it's really dangerous.
You do not have a sweet tooth?
I can walk by chocolate in the house all day long. Salty is my thing. Like chips or anything like that, I can't.
Oh, yes.
A bag of chips I cannot keep in the house.
Yeah.
But these, yeah. But, you know, out of habit. And if they're there in front of me, it's like a craft service table. This is the danger of the cruises and stuff. Like, I'll have no desserts in the house. But then you have dinner and it's all free and they lay it out and you walk them out and, like, let me just grab one of these cookies on the way.
Hey, I'll have a piece of cheesecake.
Yeah. And the next day, oh, new cookies. Like, yeah,
different one. I haven't seen this guy before.
Yeah, a little assortment.
Then
the
your story?
Yeah, the ice cream guy standing there like a drug dealer behind his. All right. What's
this part of the act, Mike? Is this, you do all the ships?
It's
part of your life.
It's a fact.
Matt, how did I introduce Mike to you at the party on Sunday?
This is Mike. You know him from cruises.
From the ships?
From the ships.
Oh, from the ships.
You know him from the ships? Yeah, that's right.
Mike was, as I mentioned, my wife has the latalacas to honor her mother's tradition. Very small gathering at my home. People that are close to us, and potentially in my wedding party, as Mike was the usher at my wedding.
It was very nice. And very nice for you to invite.
We'd like to have you there, and you participated in the White Elephant.
I did.
And we never know what anybody brings to those.
Yeah, what did you foist upon the world?
I keeping with the Jewish theme, I brought the menorah, the banana-shaped menorah.
Oh, yeah, that was pretty cool,
actually. That's a perfect white elephant gift.
Yeah, who ended? I don't know who ended up with it.
One of the kids, I would say.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I was hoping, like, you know, Elliot or somebody of the faith might
It could have been somebody of the faith. Okay. But what happens when it's all over?
Where'd be, Mike?
Yeah, when was the last time you lit a menorah, Elliot?
Oh, God.
If ever.
Maybe a decade ago.
Yeah. Oh, I would have guessed
only
when you
only
were
because
15.
Yeah. Right. Well, no.
13.
Probably,
13. Let's
right,
be
right. There've been sporadic instances where I might have been around it. Maybe I didn't light it myself. But
gotcha.
I don't do it every year. In my house. Yeah.
I don't. My wife or son do, and I sit in the other room and wait patiently for them to finish.
Speaking of the cookies, so I was like, I did a ship like a couple weeks ago, and it was like a higher end kind of ship, so I try to get away with not wearing a suit whenever I can, because I don't want to pack it, and you know, I'm all about carry-on, Jimmy.
I understand.
And but this is like, they want you to dress up a little more, so I bring the suit, and I hadn't worn it in months, and it's one of those times you haven't put pants on for a while, like,
oh boy.
Ooh.
Oh boy.
This button doesn't fly off into the front row. And so I came back, and I'm like, okay, we got to decarb the house, so we got to. And so there was like a half box of pancake mix. It's like, I don't make pancakes that much, but it's like, we're cleaning this house up. But I hate wasting food, so I'll make it.
Yeah.
And then when I'm done with this, and we had it the morning of your party.
Oh.
So it's like, I got to have pancakes in the morning and then potato pancakes.
Right.
So I'm going to carb it all up today, and then we're getting rid of it. So I cleaned out, I finished it, the pancakes. It was like, we didn't eat them all, but you know, I'm making it and we're getting rid of it. And what did I leave with in the White Elephant? Pancake mix and cornbread mix.
Right.
Really? Yeah. I can't get rid of it.
Yeah.
Just when I'm out, they pull me back.
Oh, you're back.
That's when you exchange it for whatever's on the table.
Or you could have just given it to Christine's son.
Yeah.
Well, that's what happens. When the White Elephant ends, and then the adults that are stuck with the menorah, the young people will go, hey, who's taking that? And you go, you are. And then they walk out with a stack, and they feel like they've won.
Right. Yeah. So that was, I think Piper took that home, and then mine was the blanket, the Mike Myers blanket.
Oh, very good.
And I had it in the bag, and Piper looks at it and just like, we're not leaving with that, are we? That's not, we're leaving it up. I was like, you sure you don't want it? Maybe a dog blanket or something? No, we're not. And like the angel of from the heavens, Belknap swoops in and go, hey, you want that blanket? Garen would like it. I was like, great.
And Garen loves it.
Yeah.
It's already
been
used.
And oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Have you fucked it yet?
I don't talk about that.
That's
anymore.
Right, Michael. Oh, I'll slash you.
Yeah. Who's a killer in the sheets now, Michael?
Yeah, right?
I thought she was going to bust down your window and shove that blanket in the car. Take it.
Well, then I had to fend off another suitor for that, because there was a guy who
really was
into Michael Myers and was like, hey, you're gonna keep that? I was like, yeah, man. what I told him was like, oh, a friend of mine couldn't make it, and he loves Michael Myers.
Okay,
he loves
right.
Halloween, so I'm giving it to him.
Yeah.
Which is all true.
She took one look at him and was like, where's that going to go? I was like, apparently not in the house.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's not leaving.
We can't have
place.
That down to that beautiful beach town.
Oh,
of yours.
No, we can't.
Right? Mucking up your red hat.
Not even
shelf.
The dog. Not even the dog.
But Charlie was so excited. I don't know if we talked about this on Monday. He was so excited because he really wanted... He just learned how to use chopsticks maybe 2 weeks ago.
Those glowing ones?
And they were lightsaber chopsticks, and he had his eye on them, and it, you know, didn't fall that way. So whoever ended up with them, I think it was Natalie. You don't know. I guess people that are listening don't know who that is. But anyway, someone named Natalie was very nice to give them to him. Yeah,
it was very nice of her. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nice young lady.
Yeah.
Wish her a lot of. She also made some cookies, delicious vegan cookies.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it was great to see Bruce Smith too. Haven't seen him in maybe a decade.
You have not seen Bruce Smith?
No, just not in person, not for a long time.
What was he doing when you saw him?
Oddly enough, he just picked up the conversation the last one we had. Right, huh?
Yep.
So he's,
like, he has total recall for conversation.
Goes, as I was saying, Mike, that's the first thing you said. 10 years.
When you walked away from me 10 years ago.
Let me finish.
So anyway, that was I was in a band in college. Right. And then
he's got a lot of stories. Yeah. Got a lot of stories, Bruce.
Nice man.
He's a great man.
Mm-hmm.
Great man. I mean, he's my manager of 30 years. He doesn't, you know, if he wasn't nice, he wouldn't be. You know what I mean?
What did he bring? Was he the one who brought those terrible records? That
you know what he brought was the phone charger that only worked for an Android.
Yes. Which I don't know. I feel like that should have been tested because I feel like that thing may work with an iPhone. It just came out before the iPhone had Qi charging.
Oh.
Yeah. That's how old it was. So like if you put an iPhone on it, it probably would work. But they just didn't know that was coming.
Like Elliot was the only non-iPhone person I knew. That like right. I know Elliot doesn't have one.
Yeah.
Did you take that thing?
I did not.
Does your weird third party? Well, you got a better phone now.
I have a Motorola.
Yeah, so that must have that.
Change. I also have my Bezos Max.
Ooh, look at that.
So I have two numbers.
What is that? I don't know.
It's a little tiny. IPhone. It's a little fake baby iPhone.
Okay.
I have two numbers: one for the building manager and one for myself. And it was all on one phone, but I was accidentally texting to the wrong place. So when I got the new phone, I kept my old phone going. And it was just too much in my pocket. So then this was like $60. Oh, is the most Chinese phone I've ever owned.
It looks like a children's toy when baby's first iPhone, basically.
Yes. But it really works pretty well.
What kind of candy came inside that?
Call me. Can you call me on that right now?
I don't know if I have your number on here.
Hey, call the
Oh, okay.
Call the show and then we'll all hear him, right?
Yeah, sure. That's a good idea.
And also go out to your car. Drive home.
Stay there. Never come back.
We want to make sure you don't hear. We don't hear you through the door.
This is what is it?
Hold on. I'm not
it's your record 956-591 rock.
591 R.
Traffic and weather on the twos.
CK.
Not yet, sir.
Not yet.
Hold your horses.
All right.
My phone started ringing.
Well, that's not me.
I know it's not you.
Yeah. I'm having one.
Okay. Slide the bag over.
It's cookie time here at Never Not Funny.
I'm not going to let my guest eat alone.
Sure.
He brought them. Here you go, Mike. Take those back. Put them right back in that bag. Would you double bag it?
Okay.
Matt, slide that over.
No one listening. No one else call. I will have one. Thank you. Elliot's calling. Do not get in the way of him. Thank you.
Hang on. We're getting a call.
Hello?
I clicked it. Hello?
Hello, is this Never Not Funny?
Hey, go out in the hall.
You want me to go out in the hall? All right.
Well, I guess we see that it works.
Yeah, it works.
Yeah.
There's a little bit
of a delay.
Let's see what kind of range that phone has. Just you go outside, just walk.
Well, it's a cellular phone.
It sounds okay. It doesn't sound great, but I mean, for $60, it's fine.
Yeah.
How do we sound on your end?
You sound fine.
I mean, it's echoey in the hallway. I think you should go outside.
I think you should actually. Go out. Elliot, seriously, go outside so we can hear so it's not echoey.
No, I didn't bring my key.
Open. Leave the door. Prop the door open.
It just gets caught on that rug anyway.
It gets caught up on that.
Yeah. It's hard to even close the door.
Go into that new apartment building.
Now you can hear there's traffic and stuff happening.
Yeah. All right, you got to talk in order for us to know if it works.
I mean, I can hear you, but you sound like you're eating cookies.
Tell one of your boring stories.
I don't want all of Never Not Funny's listeners to fall asleep.
That actually sounds pretty good.
Sounds pretty good.
Yeah. Once you get out of the hallway, it sounds pretty good for a $60 junk phone. That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Elliot, give us like a soliloquy or something so they can eat their cookies.
Yeah. Right.
I already finished.
Finished your cookie?
No. I don't. That's my problem.
I introduced Irma to one of my favorite movies, Somewhere in Time, and it holds up.
Summer Trump, the Christopher Reeve movie?
Jane Seymour, Christopher Reeve, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Has anybody here watched the Christopher Reeve documentary?
No, it looks great, though.
I wanted to watch it on the plane.
Yeah?
I didn't see it. I also watched the Stax documentary instead, the 4-episode one.
Yeah?
Great.
That makes more sense to me. Elliot, come on back.
I'm coming back.
The Christopher Reeve one looks good, but do I care enough about Christopher
That's the
Reeve?
Thing.
No disrespect for Christopher Reeve.
I know. Yeah, I on paper I don't, but they made it look like it would be something I'd enjoy.
Elliot, that sounds pretty good.
Not bad, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was surprised. I figured it was
Hold it up to the camera so people that can see exactly what kind of toy we're talking about.
Sure.
Garen's joke got lost in the mix that what kind of candy came in that side. Yeah.
It's like a mint tin. It's like a smaller mint tin.
But it's what's funny is
an Altoid.
I guess it doesn't really matter, but it's so small that it, like, when it's up to your ear, it's not even near your mouth.
Correct.
But I guess that's okay. I don't.
It doesn't
as
seem,
far as I mean, a headset.
We heard him enough. I mean, you're not going to have a long conversation on that phone anyway.
No. And here's the reason. So the screen is small, which means that typing on it, like if I use the touchscreen this way.
Oh, good heavens.
Wait, but does it have Android in it?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's insane.
But if you turn it sideways, you could get the bigger screen. But I find that I was using speech to text a lot. And if you do that, then it doesn't really matter. It even has like a face ID thing that it'll do too.
Wow. So is that your work, the building phone, or is that your actual phone?
That's my building phone.
Okay.
What's this new bullshit, this QWERTY one that I signaled you on and you never responded to me? Is that not a thing?
I don't know. I don't know.
I sent you a message on QWERTY, and then you never answered me. And then a minute later, I signaled on your other number and you answered me immediately.
Oh, I don't know.
You'll see that, like, I sent those with, like, 5 minutes apart.
I don't know what you mean by you sent him a text on QWERTY.
Remember, he's got this new account here.
Oh. So,
I haven't seen that.
Yeah, no. He wrote us both.
Oh, I missed it.
So in doing all these things, I had to move my signal over to this phone.
Yes.
But then I still had signal on the other phone. So signal QWERTY is my old... Anybody care?
No.
Unihertz phone.
I asked. In fairness, I asked. This is on me. What's happening right now is my fault.
Yeah.
Can I delete that from my... Are you going to ever use that again?
Can you delete that from the show?
Let's go all the way back to when Mike entered. Pick it up from there.
Sure. I mean, you might accidentally get a message from there, but probably not. At this point. Because at that point, I was moving over to the phone and... over the Motorola, and I didn't know whether there'd be a problem, so I wanted to make sure I still got things. I probably won't use that for much of anything.
Why did I not get that?
You should have got it.
I never saw it. I could just never look at a screen that small now with my eyes.
No. Oh, I could with my eyes.
Font that tiny. No way.
I'm still okay enough. Uh-oh. Every once in a while, I do have to pop a glasses on, but
crazy.
Good for you. My brother has the carabiner type... contraption to hold his reading glasses, so they're always there, ready to go. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to get to that. I know that I probably should.
Yeah.
But
what about want to just be guy with the croakies, just like have reading glasses around your neck?
You know what I do have? I don't know if you've seen them. If you've seen me have these, I have these. They're in my wallet. I keep them in my wallet.
Balabans.
And then these.
Oh,
guys.
Those. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
These guys.
That's not a bad solution.
So I could read menus and stuff.
Yeah. It's a little Ben Franklin, though. It is a little Ben Franklin.
They're only out long enough to read a menu.
Okay. Got a problem with one of our nation's forefathers?
Yeah. Guy did some good stuff.
Good point, yeah.
Also was probably a racist.
I mean...
You mean all the slave owners?
I mean, yeah, right. By modern definitions, they were all racist.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Some of them said, hey, we shouldn't do the slavery thing. And then everyone was like, shut the fuck up. And you're like, okay,
I don't want to die.
I'm not going to die on this hill.
Garen, I'm going to
see how big that field is out there? I can't. What am I going to do?
I'm sending you over, Garen.
Okay.
Here we go. Go get, get yourself something nice, too. Get yourself something off the roller. Get yourself the chicken and waffle roller.
Is there a chicken waffle roller now?
Yeah, it's good.
I haven't seen that.
It's good.
I haven't been in there a long time.
Yeah, it's basically, you know how they got the buffalo chicken?
Yeah.
It's got a sweet waffle type.
Damn them. I got to try that.
Outer thing.
I don't like the chicken and waffles.
Anything? What? I like the white. And then
come on,
the bright green.
No, it's this now, isn't it?
Oh, it's this. Yeah, it's that.
There you go.
You're right. White, bright green. Boy, Gary looks taller today than he looked in the past.
Kiss me, needs another Coke.
I don't know. Who sent that in?
That, I believe, is Dawn Treader.
We heard the longer version of that once, maybe, right? But then here comes Dog Julin with his professional producing chops swooping in with the mastery.
Yeah.
Dog will be in town in February, part of that Michael Shannon REM tour. Michael Shannon tours covering REM albums.
Oh, really?
Yeah, actor Michael Shannon, yeah.
Yeah, and Dog is in the... have you seen the trailer for that new Michael Shannon movie, by the way? It's called The End. It's the musical. It's a musical, and they live in an ice cave or something.
Oh, I have not.
So it's not based on that movie that Burt Reynolds starred
in. It is not.
Okay.
It is not. Call me on your tiny phone. I'll give you the real answer. No, I can't tell if it looks great or absolutely atrocious.
Huh.
Tilda Swinton, Michael Shannon.
Two great actors.
And then two other people whose names
Wait,
I did
it's a
not
musical?
Know. And it's a musical.
With Tilda Swinton.
That's interesting.
Hmm. Yeah.
I for some reason, and this is probably completely undeserved, but I'm feeling like it's going to be a Bjork situation with Tilda Swinton in there.
I don't know what you mean by
like
that.
Her voice will be very difficult.
I will tell you, in Iceland,
we do not hear her voice in the trailer.
Okay.
We hear the two young people's voices mostly in the trailer singing their songs.
Well, we know Michael Shannon can sing. We don't know if
Do we know he can sing, or do we know he can sing?
So Shannon sings. He's taking
the Michael's type.
He's
Michael's type. Okay. Right. If your name is Michael, you have to take
him
to
sing.
Here's the thing, by the way. He's famous, so he gets away with it. Like, he does this REM
Trump
thing.
With the pussies.
Right?
He goes, they let you do it.
That's right.
There's probably a better REM cover band out there. No offense, dog. No offense, dog, my friend. But Michael Shannon gets to fill out the Wiltern.
But I feel like we asked Dog, can he sing? And he was like, yeah, he's good. I thought that conversation happened. Maybe I'm wrong.
On the air it happened.
Of course. Nah. He's not going to say, oh, no, he actually sucks.
I believe Michael Shannon can sing. I believe he came, did probably musical theater in college or something. He's probably one of those guys.
Chicago guy?
Chicago guy loves the Cubs.
Oh, yeah?
If I'm not mistaken. He's a big Cub fan.
I used to love that one clip of him that went viral of him reading the angry sorority girls tweet.
Oh, I didn't see
that. Oh, it's great.
What is it?
One of them, it was some famous text that went around, or letter that was circulated within the sorority about how the house sucks this year and you guys are lame, and it's just and he reads it serious into this camera and word for word, and it's hilarious.
That's great.
Yeah, it's great.
What do you do that? Jim Kimmel? Was that part of the Jim Kimmel show?
Might have been, but it's out there. It's out there. YouTube it.
Love it.
There's a whole bunch. There's a whole series of reading letters things.
Yeah.
What is it called? It's got a. It's like reading a letter or something like that.
Red Letter, that guy from Oak Forest High School?
There you go.
Is it that fella?
No.
I don't know.
It seems like a very Funny or Die clip. You know, it seems like that
era. Is Funny or Die still a thing?
I don't think so, is it?
I don't know. It's a good question.
I think Funny or Die is, I think College Humor is the one that went away.
Well, that became, College Humor became something else.
The people who were part of that created Dropout.
Yes, right.
Yeah, that's doing pretty well, I think.
But Funny or Die, I think when McKay and when they split, I think it kind of just let it stop producing things.
Yeah.
It may still be an entity, but
I feel like I haven't heard of them doing anything in years.
I think those guys are all right, though. They're fine, right?
They'll be okay.
Actually, I have to, you're right. It's apparently August 13th, 2016, Funny or Die shut down their offices, reducing their headcount to 95 employees. So
reduced
it to 95.
Holy shit!
Good lord!
How many people were working there before?
It's 90 more than are in this room. that's the cutdown staff.
That's unnecessary amount of staff.
Having said that, Henry R. Muñoz III bought it in 2021, so I guess the brand still exists.
Mm.
It had its time, but eventually, it's just like this doesn't need to exist. People, if they want to make their funny things, they just do it and put it on YouTube.
Yeah, it's but at the time.
It was a good.
I mean, they had producers, they had writers, they had. I got cast in something, which is hey, you want to do a thing for Funny or Die? Here's this just bizarre.
Yeah,
It was that weird time before streaming platforms all became real networks. That back then, it was there would be all these weird little entities that were making things, and it was just to watch on the web.
Right, and they're going to be a network.
Yeah, What was the other one that? I think Sony owned it, or maybe Sony bought it at some point. It was the one that...
The Cool Up had her show on? That one?
Oh, I don't remember that, but... Oh, what was it called?
Jash, Juice,
Oh, Jash. No, Jash? Not Jash. It was the one that Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee actually started on this.
Is that Crackle?
Crackle, yes.
Yeah. Crackle.
Yeah. And there were a million of those.
Yeah. I guess Comedians in Cars, what I found interesting about that was it was Seinfeld's idea. It was him, a comedian, talking to another comedian.
What?
Yeah, he created that concept.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
He came up with the idea of a comedian talking to another comedian, just having a conversation.
Yeah. Wow. Conan should get in on
his idea. Conan's
he's got enough of his own ideas to work with. He doesn't need to steal from Seinfeld,
right?
But they would talk. Sometimes they'd be talking about comedy, and then sometimes they'd be talking about something else.
Yeah,
kind of free form, honestly.
And he,
what is the deal? With
Seinfeld came up with that idea.
Yeah,
that's genius.
But he also,
it's in a car, Jimmy.
He needed to write off all of his vehicles, so he put it in a car, and he just needed to get some coffee.
Brilliant. I got to buy more cars and. So, every now and then we do an episode out in one of them.
So, Jimmy, hear me out.
Yeah?
I think you should start a series called Comedians in Doctor's Offices. That way you can write off all of your doctor's appointments. No?
Are you still on the phone? Because I'm having trouble hearing
I don't know why that got shivved. It's not a bad idea. I mean, it's not a good idea. But comedically, it's a good idea.
Thank you.
I hear where you're coming from. Could I write off all my doctor's appointments if I did that? At least no. at least the copay.
Maybe.
Sitting there.
Did you ever hear the Fairbanks? Was it Karen Kilgariff doing the...
Yeah, Do You Need a Ride?
Yeah, Do You Need a Ride? That was good.
Did the show a few times.
They're fun.
I think they're still doing it.
They do.
Are they really?
Via Zoom.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
There's no longer the pretense of them being in the car. Okay. It's just a regular podcast.
Yeah.
As far as I know.
Well, because the lockdown forced them to do it on Zoom, and then I think they just like, hey, this works.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why are we driving people around? Well,
right. I think that at some point they mentioned like they had to, like originally they literally were picking somebody up from somewhere that they needed to go somewhere, and then they were coming up with reasons to drive around.
Yeah.
And so that seems like a logical progression.
A lot of it was, we'll bring you or pick you up from the airport, comedian.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because every comedian would need a ride, and then eventually they... Yeah. We can bring you to Largo.
Sounds just awful for them. Like, okay, we're going to pick you up at the airport. What time is your flight getting? Oh, it gets in at 10. Okay. Flight's delayed. Okay, I guess we'll just drive in circles for 45 minutes. Yeah. No, it's actually, now it's delayed 2 hours. Okay.
Well, taking someone to the airport is 10 times better than taking them home.
100%. Yeah. Thank you, Garen.
A pickup is a big ask.
That is a dribble.
That's a big ask.
Thank you, Garen.
Maybe that's what they did. Maybe they're just...
Garen, did you get yourself something nice?
No.
Garen!
God.
Garen.
Told you so to get yourself a chicken and waffle.
I brought cookies, you dick.
You're a dick, Garen.
That was going to be your Christmas bonus. Now you don't get anything.
Yeah.
You blew it. You had my card. You could have got anything over there.
Yeah, give me that Mike Myers blanket back.
What's the most expensive item at a 7-Eleven?
Wow. I would say a alcohol thing.
Maybe. Certainly alcohol.
Bottle of alcohol.
Don't they sometimes have like a propane tank?
They may have a propane tank, but I don't think that. I think a bottle of alcohol is going to be more expensive.
Like a fancy...
I think there's a
scotch. Do they have that?
They got to have at least one fancy thing.
That's their wine vault. There. They got a good cellar there. 7-Eleven.
An 82 Sauvignon Blanc.
Right. I'm going to say they got one expensive thing because they know people are like, oh shit, I'm going to this party. I'm going to need something.
Pick something up. Yeah.
Right.
But they'd, I mean, although that said, there's actual liquor stores every three blocks in LA. So
that's true. But they got to have something in there. That's just the...
Garen, go back over and ask what the most expensive thing is.
I think Garen's going to do a Google on it. He's going to give us an answer.
I am going to do a Google on it.
Okay.
There was a guy, speaking of expensive, there was a guy trying to argue the cost of his drinks.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
He got... He gave the guy 20 bucks, and he bought four things. And you know how they had the two for whatever. And he's like... And he didn't speak English.
Ooh.
And he's like... he was just trying to communicate what's wrong. The guy was like... Look, it's this, it's this, it's this. And then the guy finally gave up and ran out. Like, the guy behind the counter was correct.
Yeah.
He didn't make it up. It's all computerized.
It's all computerized. Yeah.
He's not back there going, I'm going to give this guy an extra 50 cents.
The only problem that happens sometimes at 7-Eleven is they will occasionally forget to take down the 3 for $6.99 tab. Mm. Then you bring the 3 up and they go, oh, that's $9.97. Oh, no, it said 3 for, and then the guy walks over and goes, and then he yells at some other guy for not taking it down and then changes it and then it's over. So occasionally that will happen, Garen, so in offense, but it's all computerized. You can't argue with price anymore.
Well, let me ask you a question about pricing, because this bamboozled me this morning. I did some Christmas shopping before we came over here, and I was in a store that they said, when I walked in, they said, hey, just while you're browsing, everything's buy one get one 50% off. I was like, okay, cool. And so I ended up with four things. Two of the things were like around 50, and then the other two things were like 12, maybe.
And you got the half off on the
list. So what? Yeah. So why would I? And I did it because I'm like, I'm not gonna. I'm just too old and too tired to fucking go. Here are the two expensive things. Take 50% off one of the two expensive things, and then oh wait, I actually also want to buy these. So of course, I just put all four things on the counter, and they took 50%. I assume they took 50% off the two cheapest things, right?
Correct.
But I got fucked in that. Yeah. Why does it work that way?
Because it's, you should have just put the 250s
but
up.
But I shouldn't have to. They should anticipate.
There's fine print of you'll get 50% off the lower priced item.
Right. So you needed to actually buy the $250 things, take them to your car, go back in.
You don't think if I had gone, oh, wait a minute, I forgot I wanted to also buy this.
Sure. No.
I do it all the time.
If you on the same receipt?
Yes. No.
I put the two expensive things on the counter. I say, oh, this is what I have. They ring it up, and then when
you
done,
pay for
I
it.
Pay for
oh,
it.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And then I go, oh wait, I wanted these two things.
I have a second sale here.
Yeah.
I do that all the time.
I just didn't want. I was too early to act. I didn't want. I wasn't ready to perform for this woman.
Were you buying a tiny pink phone?
That was one of the $60 items. Yeah.
Let's do it. Sitting cross-legged on the floor.
Oh, but first. Ooh, very nice transition. Starting with the letter game. Hope my guess is better. You start with the letter and end with the name. It's the never not funny letter game.
All right, the letter is Q. We're matching Elliot. He matched, was it Autumn Brewer last time with the letter P with Pulp Fiction?
Yeah.
Lands in your lap, the Q. Mike Siegel goes first. Mike. You're in the catbird seat. You get to pick what drama does Elliot think of that begins with the letter Q.
I'm going to go with Quiz Show.
Quiz Show is Jimmy Pardo's first guess.
That's a good one.
I think that's a good one.
Okay.
There's a lot of good Qs out there. Matt Belknap, you're next.
Oh, I thought he was going to take one of my three-ish, and he didn't. So now I have to decide. I guess I'll say Quantum of Solace.
Ooh.
James Bond.
All right, I'm going to go to my list now that Quiz Show is taken. And I'm going to go with, I'll go with The Quiet Man.
Oh.
Quiet Man.
John Wayne.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to be that. Quantum Silence was my fifth choice. Again, I made my list before we took horror and sci-fi out of it. So I had Quiet Place on here as well. But I would argue that that is
horror.
Basically horror.
Or
thriller.
Or sci-fi.
Yeah, maybe both. Yeah.
I mean, it ain't real.
How do you know? Maybe that's what those drones in Jersey are doing.
I'd like to hear more about them and then not hear about them ever again. Like, it nonstop for 3 days, and now it's like it never happened.
Jimmy, can I tell you, I rarely ever, you know, I'm not on social media really, but I happen to be on Blue Sky, and I saw your skirt eat, whatever the fuck they call it over there, your post. And it made me laugh out loud, and then I handed it to Elise, and I was like, this made me laugh out loud. She read it and made her laugh out loud.
Oh, that's very nice.
Should I just summarize it, or do you want to? Can you?
I'm amazed that you laughed out loud, quite frankly.
I was delighted by it.
I wrote, this is a Jimmy Pardo, and I said, so my boys and I had it east to fly our drones. Got off our ass about it. You know what? All right, yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Just my boys.
My boys.
The part that's funny.
My boys and I headed east to fly our drones.
By the way,
a lot of people. Can I just say this? Yeah. A lot of people responded with, "We know Elliot has a drone."
Sure,
a lot of people got involved with that. Go ahead, man.
My college roommate Jim, who I mentioned earlier in this episode, lives in New Jersey, and he told me weeks ago. He was like, "There's a bunch of drones flying around." And in a group chat, and my other friend and I were like, what are you talking about? And then he tried to send us a video. You know, there's all, even on the news with professional news cameras, it doesn't look like anything. It's just a fucking Christmas light in the air.
Right.
It's like, it's the most unexciting video you could possibly. But anyway, he sent us video, and I was like, yeah, I guess that's a drone. I don't know what to tell you,
they're
man.
They're the size of cars, right? They're supposed to be.
He was trying to say they're bigger than like the kind of drone you would use to like Elliot style drone. Yeah.
Well, I told you about the time I was driving on the 405 and the drone came.
Yeah.
I'm going south and it was coming north, like in between the two lanes.
Right.
And it scared the shit out of me because it looked, what is this flying?
Right.
You know, it's helicopter, car, plane.
Right.
I mean, these are things that do exist. Like in China, they're already beginning to approve for like some testing of transporting people,
like a personal.
Yeah, it's like it can sit like two or four, and it's the size of a car, but it's shaped like what we think of as a quadcopter, a drone of that type. So it's not impossible.
Well, let me ask you a question, because you're he's nuts, but you're also nuts.
Sure.
Have you done any deep dive onto what these drones are?
Because I haven't.
There's a lot of chatter about it.
Well, here's the problem is that some people are misidentifying things, like there's small aircraft and stuff like that. And as far as I can tell, there's nothing that I can do to get more information yet. So I'm just waiting to see if somebody says what it is.
Yeah, no one knows shit other than maybe the government sort of knows, but like they're not telling us. So it's just, it is what it is. I think a lot of it, like you said, is people like it started and then people were like, hey, we're doing drones now, like let's all fly our drones at night to fuck with people and kind of like freak people out or something.
If any of them have an alien on there and they have like a laser gun, could they shoot at Donald Trump and end this fucking nightmare?
Hypothetically, I guess.
Yes, comedy show.
Yeah, comedy show.
I gotta think one of the first people to like use drones professionally, it's got to be Amazon, right? Are they going to be packages around?
They already have that.
Yeah, right.
I don't know how widely used it is, but they've been developing it for years.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There are a couple of companies that do things like that. And there's one company that like they have a drone where they use a catapult and they catapult it across. It's in Africa that they use it to quickly send.
Was that a drone at that point?
Well, so they catapult it so it goes faster at the start and then it deploys and then it lands.
And then it flies like a drone.
Yeah. Drone.
That's crazy.
Yeah. It's actually pretty cool.
All catapults are cool. Have you ever seen a catapult and not think it was cool?
Yeah, right.
It's cool.
Great.
You throw anything with
one
a big
of the
rubber
best
band.
Inventions.
Right? I mean, it's pretty fucking fun. And, you know, you make one in school, they're fun. There's never a bad time with a catapult.
Agreed.
Unless you're on the other side of it.
Yeah, that's fair.
Watch out.
Right? Behind that wall, and all of a sudden, here comes a large rock on top of your head.
Yeah.
That part of it ain't fun.
Nope. So Seth Meyers did a closer look about the drones, and he showed a clip from some news thing where they were interviewing an expert, a guy who like apparently there's like a drone school in New Jersey, and so Seth Meyers was like, so in the vicinity of where all these things are seen, there's an actual school for drones. You think maybe that has something to do with it? But this guy who is an expert, they were like, so how do you know that this isn't a Chinese spy thing or Iran or Russia? And he's like, well, you know, if they were doing it, they probably would turn the lights off. It's like, yeah, that's pretty fucking obvious now that you say it.
Well, and funny. The other thing, too, is like, much like an airplane or a helicopter, you know, drones have a limited range. If it's a small drone, it's going to have a very limited range. But the bigger it gets, you know, batteries or fuel or whatever it is, it's got to have some place to land.
What about mine that's shaped like the bat signal? How far of a range do you think that? And do you think that'll affect play here?
I mean, if you were to fly it and you were flying it in Gotham, then yes, I absolutely think it would make a difference.
I have never enjoyed flying a drone. I live in fear the entire time.
It's
stressful. Get away from me.
It is stressful to me. I think I told you about that, where my friend who's good at flying drones, he was selling me his old one and we were flying it over the reservoir and like, there's no other way to put this. My taint tightened up. and just,
probably another way to
I
put
think
that.
There's a couple other ways.
But that's exactly what happened, is what I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Because same thing. Like, I thought I'm going to do something wrong. It's going to go in the water.
Right.
I mean, it'll run into something or whatever. And he's like, it's not going to do that. I'm like, my brain doesn't understand that because it's not where my eyes are. Like, I could see through the screen the camera from the drone, so I knew where it was going. Mm-hmm. But, like, it was so far away, it made me, my whole body tenses up just thinking about it.
It's not fun.
But you bring up a good point, Jimmy. Like, and I think I thought this initially, and then I stopped thinking about it because who cares? But if they want to know what's up with them, just follow them home. They can't stay in the air forever.
Right?
Why? And I'm sure they've done that. Someone must be like tracking them and going, okay, where is it landing? Oh, there's the guy. Okay, come here, sir. We need to ask you about this.
What's going on?
Yeah.
Oh, I take your class over here. Thank you for your time. Yeah.
That explains it. Thank you very much.
Actually, I don't think it's as easy as that with the small ones. If it was the size of a car, then I agree with you that they could use radar and all sorts of stuff.
I think the initial thing was they were big.
Right.
That's why people were freaked, because it's like, these are too big to be like just commercial.
Right. And so that would be something that radar should be able to pick up. But I know that.
What if I use Gary Berghoff? Is that helpful? He played radar on MASH, Gary.
Oh,
that's a good joke for our fans over 90.
Hold on, let me check the chat.
Nicely done.
Chat.
Nicely done.
Hurts me.
But like now, if I want to fly my drone, I think I have to put like a little transponder, like a little beepy thing. That will send out a signal,
like an FAA rule.
Yeah, says that you and if you don't do that, then if they catch you, then they take the drone away and you can't do it anymore. Well, I have to fill out a license and everything.
I know from shooting stuff here, like LA, the rules on drones are really tight.
Yes. Yeah.
And then we would like, I remember I shot a commercial or something. We went way out to like the desert before, you know, hopefully where there'd be no rules. So we used a drone out there, but they said, city of LA.
Yeah,
they'll be all over your ass.
And it has to be.
Oh yeah. this yeah. permit. You got to get all these permits.
Well,
and
if
stuff.
You've ever done the hike up to the Hollywood sign above it, there's signs everywhere.
Oh,
no
yeah.
drones. Because like if you let people do it, there would be 100 drones at all times surrounding
oh, yeah.
that
oh,
sign.
I've seen it all over, like in tourist spots around the world. I was just in Iceland and stuff like that. And there, you would like these famous waterfalls and stuff and signs everywhere. No drones.
No drones.
Yeah.
Well, that's good because
all these influencers are
yeah, it would be horrible.
Traveling with them.
It would ruin everything.
And the apps that you use to fly them typically do have like a way that you can overlay where you can fly
oh.
so that you don't fuck it up.
Hmm. I see. Mm-hmm. Right, Aaron, well. What's your guess for a Q drone?
Wait, what?
A Q drama.
A Q
oh,
drone?
I thought you said a Q drone.
Yeah,
I heard that too.
I did see some guy who manufactures them talking about how they might be sniffing things. Like they're looking for some missing fucking warhead from Ukraine or something. Nuclear warhead.
In New Jersey.
That's what you saw.
That's what...
Our man on the inside.
That's a typical Mike Schmidt thing. Dude, what I'm hearing.
Dude.
Yeah. Yeah. No, but that's...
You're not hearing anything anybody else isn't, Mikey.
That's terrifying.
Guy in apartment in North Hollywood's not getting news.
No, you're... That's 100%.
It's like Graham Elwood. What I'm hearing in Russia, nobody's going to you, middle act, to talk about what the fuck's happening in Russia. I headline, I know, Graham. Go ahead.
But the thing is that the problem is politicians, elected officials are saying some of that crazy shit. So right. if you're yeah. watching TV and your congressperson is like, well, it could be sniffing for warheads. You'd be like, well, I guess he knows more than I do. It must be true.
Well,
or
they don't know shit.
They don't know fucking they're making this shit up.
Look who's getting elected. They don't know anything.
To some crackpot on the fucking internet.
They're
That's where they're
the
getting
same,
there.
Yeah, they're seeing the same websites yeah. and podcasts that everybody else is.
By the way, Garen, if you ever have a book, I want it to be called Sniffing for Warheads. another book. I know you don't need to throw your fucking
Demonic and Other Tales is available.
We've got other books. It's award winning. We got it. Garen, you got a patch.
All formats.
It's available. Get out there. Holidays right around the corner.
Stocking stuffer.
Perfect. Stocking. Absolutely. Enjoy it. By the way, this is time for the people just live streaming. I'm going to be on Pete Schwab's radio show today.
Oh, that's fun.
At 6:30 Central.
Nice.
6:30 Central doing his popcorn pick or something he calls it.
Oh, yeah,
that.
I did that. That's fun.
Show up, you talk about snacks and recommend a movie or something
fun.
Like that. I like cool. Pete. Pete Schwab is a friend of this show, and he's a good guy.
Yeah, I listened to the Lance Barber episode when you guys we were
yeah.
You guys were talking about the old Wisconsin shoot that we
brought
did.
You up.
Yeah, it was about 2003, I want to say 2003, four somewhere in there, two, three, or four.
I don't know.
Yeah,
it was about 20 years ago.
I was there for about a week, I think.
You were there a long time.
Yeah.
Did you stay in a hotel or did you stay at Pete's house?
I stayed. It was a hotel. It was
good
a hotel.
You.
Yeah.
Yeah, that hustle of them trying to get you to stay at Pete. Hey, you'll stay with Pete's parents. No, I won't. I'm an adult.
And the crew was staying in a former, like, mental hospital.
Oh.
It was like an abandoned, it was like Jesus. An old closed hospital.
Really?
That they just, yeah, they just, you know, took some rooms, and that was their offices and some rooms people were staying in.
I don't want to do that. I know that you did it to save money. I get it. It's an indie film, and, they're, you know, the budget's tight, but...
There's still, like, straps on the walls and stuff.
No.
Yikes.
I don't... Give me a room. Just treat me like a human being. Garen, what's your cue drama?
Quigley Down Under.
Quigley Down
wow.
Under. The great. Is that a Jane Seymour film?
Tom Selleck and Jane Seymour, I think.
Yeah. No, it's Tom Selleck and Laura Sangiacomo,
oh.
I believe.
Are you sure Jane Seymour's not in it somewhere?
She's
two of us.
Well,
what
Dr.
are we thinking
Quinn.
Of?
Oh, that's maybe
that could
yeah.
be
probably what we're thinking of.
I still think she's in Quigley Down Under.
I definitely pictured that mustache on the video, the VHS box of Tom Selleck. But I thought, yeah, I don't know why I thought.
Nope. Tom Selleck, Alan Rickman, Laura Sangiacomo.
Okay.
Ooh. All right. Well,
Ben Mendelsohn.
Oh, the great Ben Mendelsohn.
Ben Mendelsohn's in that movie
Bloodlines.
From 40 years ago? Is he a kid?
He must be a kid.
He, let's see, it was from 1990.
Okay.
He's not 90. A kid then.
I don't about think I ever watched
4
it.
Years ago. I don't know.
I wouldn't watch that.
Yeah.
I think I could say I've seen two Tom Selleck movies. The one that Gene Simmons was in, because I saw it because Gene Simmons was in it.
Runaway?
Runaway.
Okay, and which then the baseball
one? On Sci-Fi.
No.
Where you play Japanese baseball?
Or? The I'm the
In and Out.
Oh yeah, right.
You saw Three Men and a Baby? Must
yeah, yeah, I did see that. All right, there's sure. three.
What about Three Men and a Little Lady?
No,
I saw them both.
No,
not trying to brag, but
the first one didn't answer everything I needed.
You saw that ghost in the background.
Right? I don't like to be spooked.
Yeah,
I'm going to see a comedy. I don't know what the last thing I want is to be.
Yeah,
some ghoul
I don't
come
blame
up.
You.
Yeah,
In and Out was good though.
It was good.
Yeah.
Right?
Mendelsohn would have been 21.
Oh, okay.
He's older than I thought. He was born in 69.
Oh, happy birthday.
Yeah.
He's younger than me. He looks 15 years older than me. He's lived a hard life, Ben Mendelsohn.
He's got a lot of, it looks like he worked construction.
he went gray maybe a little earlier than some.
He's got the Robert Redford skin going.
Weathered.
Well. Yeah.
Been in the sun a little bit. Mm-hmm. Into the elements.
Saw a guy yesterday, Mike, walking around Culver City with an umbrella. Okay. And I wanted to run him down with my car. come on, dude. I get it, but come on.
I love the when I lived near Koreatown. They're like, you know, because Asian women in general, they stay out of the sun.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. And the women would wear like the full on face shield, like the welder's mask and like the white gloves.
Mm-hmm.
Going up, wow!
I allow that. 25-year-old dude, no thank you.
Is that a parasol? He's spinning it like
just walking around.
Was this Hello Dolly?
it was Hello Kitty.
I have new expertise in this, by the by, because well,
this is your segment.
Asian woman representative here now.
There are skin conditions that
I'm making fun of a fucking white guy for walking down the street in an umbrella. It's not a conversation.
I'm not talking to you.
Fucking thing.
I'm talking to Mike.
Mike understands it.
I get it.
I'm a white guy who does have skin things. What, yeah. So
we should have umbrellas and stuff.
We should all be out of the sun. Really. Yeah,
exactly. Well, when we were growing up,
yes,
people made fun of us if we put on sunscreen.
100%.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And then I think it was RoboCop that taught us that we should be wearing SPF 150 or whatever it was. Do you remember the ad that was in there?
Yeah.
But that was also kind of making fun of that in a way. Yes. And now we know it's a super serious thing for some people.
Well, not for some. We should all be wearing sunscreen.
We should. And I want to say that there's some scientific thing that shows that like it's worse now than it was in the 70s as far as our sun exposure.
Well, I mean.
Oh, sure.
Well, the ozone has gotten better, but it's still not.
Yeah, I remember when I went to New Zealand in the 90s, and they said, oh, yeah, there's a hole in the ozone down here. And we're like, oh, come on. And like within 5 minutes outside, we're like, oh, yeah. Give me one of them umbrellas over there. Give me a parasol. Jimmy told me it works.
956-591-ROCK. Give us a call. Let us know what your Q movie is.
Oh, okay.
We'll take a couple of phone calls, get the Q Q movies from the fans here as well.
Do you want me to do the list?
Not
from
yet.
Online? Okay.
I had a second choice that I'm.
Well, let's see if anybody else says it.
Maybe I should
bring it up. Two others, but yeah, let's see what the fans think.
Yeah, I'm interested.
Area code 956-591 Rock. Give us a shout.
591 Rock.
By the way, my roommate asks me a lot because I walk here.
Yeah.
If I'm taking an umbrella with me. And I'm like, no, I feel like an idiot if I'm walking around the sun.
Karen, we have to take this.
Yeah, but we have one of those umbrella hats, don't we still?
We do. Was that guy in Culver City yesterday? Anybody? I wanted to run him down with my car. Hello, this is Jimmy. Who's this?
Hello, this is Brian Salvatore. How are you boys doing?
Hello, Brian. How are you today?
This guy gets
I am doing well, thank you.
Yeah, he gets through a lot, right? We talked to Salvatore.
Do you have a special phone, Brian? What are you doing that's getting in?
Is it a Bezos Max?
I have no special phone. I do have an important question, though.
Okay.
What is the statute of limitations on celebrity sightings? I have a really good one.
Oh. When did you see it, this person?
October.
Yeah, it's too far away.
That's what I figured. I feared that. Okay.
Where'd you see this fella or this lady?
Entering Citi Field before a Mets playoff game.
Oh.
All right.
Okay.
Male or female?
Male.
This guy sounds like, I don't know if you'll know, there's I mentioned before when I do the live, we do the Zooms, there's a guy named David Nugent out of Canada, and this guy sounds exactly like that guy.
Huh.
And it's blowing my fucking mind. all right, Salvador, so it's a gentleman?
It is a gentleman, yes.
Is this person on television?
They've been on television, but they are not a television personality.
Are they an athlete?
No.
Musician?
No.
Politician?
Yes.
Oh.
Okay, so a politician celebrity going to see the Mets play.
Was it Bernie
and I
Sanders?
Say this, it was not. It went from celebrity sighting to celebrity confrontation, if that helps at all here.
You got in a fight with this person?
Physical, not physical, just verbal.
You stood up for the good cause?
I did, yes.
Was it Ted Cruz?
No, I think it was a Democrat.
It was not.
Yeah, I was going to say Democrat. I was going to say Blagojevich.
No, not Blue Bandits.
Well, make a guess then, Garen. Don't just sit over there and judge other people's guesses.
Was it Matt Gaetz?
Wait, I have a guess.
That's not a Democrat.
It was not.
That was for humor because
I got it.
I don't like that joke.
All right, I take it back.
Matt Gaetz is a good man.
Are we for sure it's a Democrat or a Republican?
No, he said it's a Democrat.
He mucked this all up with his.
No, it's a Republican.
Was it Rudy Giuliani?
Yeah, I was going to say Rudy Giuliani.
No, he is a known Yankee fan. This person that they know is
Mets. Good point.
A known Mets. Yankee fan.
How about a Chris Christie?
Hmm. Correct. It is Chris Christie.
Hey. Oh, Mike Siegel. Hey. And why'd you fight with this guy, Selby?
So my mother is a teacher, and when Chris Christie became governor, he gutted the retirement and pension plans for teachers. As I saw him, I said, "Hey, Chris, thanks for fucking up my mom's pension." And he said, "Excuse me?" And I said, "Hey, Chris, thanks for fucking up my mom's pension." And he looked at me, and I will admit, I am a chubby gentleman. He looked at me and said, "Well, you look pretty well fed."
Oh,
this coming from Chris Christie, who is a large gentleman, and I'm
better
not fat shaming anybody, but you know, kind of a strange thing to go after.
You could also just be like, "Yeah, I'm an adult with my own job. That doesn't mean my mom's pension didn't get fucked over by your stupid policy."
That's exactly what I said. I said, "I'm 42 years old. Do you think my mom is paying for my food?" And he just walked away from me.
I gotta say though, like if I think of all the politicians that I would pick a fight with, Chris Christie seems like the one guy who might be ready to go.
He's ready to go.
He seems a little.
Although Selby shouldn't handle himself.
Yeah, sure.
And then probably went over to the snack bar.
Brave.
I'm proud of you, Selby.
My wife had the best comeback. My wife said, "You should have said Bruce Springsteen hates you. He loves Springsteen, and Springsteen does not like him." I wish I was as clever as my wife. So my apologies.
That would have been good.
I'm gonna steal from myself from 2 seconds ago when nobody heard me. And then what you do? You head over to the snack bar. He's well fed. He's a big fella. See, that's his joke. His whole point. You got a Q movie guess here, Selves?
I do. Quiz show.
You're gonna match Mike Siegel.
Yeah.
All right. That's a good guess.
Yes.
All right. Happy holidays, Brian.
Bye, Brian.
Thank you, boys. Happy holidays.
Nice. That was a good call.
I had a celebrity sighting, and then I'm mad that I tweeted you or texted you when I was on the plane last week. On my plane.
Yeah.
Friend of the show.
You can do it with these guys.
Okay.
Sure.
Want to do it real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
Let's do it. Right. Let's let the caller play, too.
All right.
All right. Hello, this is Jimmy. Who's this?
Hey, Jim. That's Jim from Batavia.
Batavia, Illinois?
Hi, Jim.
How are you, sir?
Good. You in a box?
You found the one phone worse than Elliot's.
Oh no! I apologize, guys. Let me hold on.
Yeah, do something. Whatever you're doing is wrong.
Take it out of your shoe.
Oh, you fucking Maxwell Smart.
Hey,
what, you a Jimmy Dore headshot? Jimmy Dore had a headshot of him talking to a foot
in his shoe. Yeah,
because his commercial agent told him to.
Oh, I got caught up trying to remember Maxwell Smart's catchphrase because
missed it by that.
Would you believe?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. His daughter Cecily directed my sketch show that I was in.
Hey.
Are you back, Jim? You figure out?
I think so.
Better.
Night and day.
What were you doing, Jim? Did you have it in a shoebox?
Well, I was using some wonderful Bluetooth headphones that are now quietly going away.
Yeah, those weren't good, dude.
Throw those in the trash.
You got to put that thing right to your face. So you're in Batavia, Illinois. Is that where we landed?
Yes, sir.
And what was the gentleman's name?
Jim.
Jim.
Your name.
And Jim, what do you do for a living? Just out of curiosity.
I knew you're gonna hate this.
I hate you.
I produce podcasts.
What does that mean in Batavia?
you, Matt and Garen have been on my vinyl podcast.
Oh, we love it. I apologize. Jim Hankey.
Yes.
You're down with Hanks?
Yeah, Jim's a good man, and the podcast is great. My apologies.
Vinyl Emergency?
Yeah, Vinyl Emergency.
Yep, that's right, guys. Thank you so much. Yep.
Wait, were you, Jim, also in that music league that I was in with Jim?
You got it. I can't wait to do another one.
I know. I've been talking. Everyone's bugging me about it. I was supposed to start a new one.
Is that the one that I'm going to be in?
Yeah.
That sounded fun when you were describing it.
Yeah, Siegel's in.
Yeah, I'll do it.
Okay, well, slow down, guys. We got a waiting list here.
No, I need rules. I need structure.
I need to figure out the categories for one thing.
I'll figure it out. Yeah. You've been talking about this for too long.
I think the hang up with Jimmy was that it uses Spotify and he doesn't
use it. Oh, that's right. So. Here's the hang up with you, Jim.
By the way, there's a new social media thing that's dedicated specifically just for music where you can share music you love, but there's no popularity contest to it. It's all organic, I guess.
Huh. What's it called?
It's called Needle or Needle Drop, one of the two. Hmm. It just launched within the last couple of days.
Sounds cool.
It seems cool. It looks like a nice all right. layout.
But Jim, Mike Siegel saw a celebrity on his plane, and Jim, you get to play along because I know who it is. And again, when Mike texted me, I was like, Mike, you could have saved this for the show.
No.
All right. So you guys, Mike Siegel saw somebody on his plane.
As he was
walking back to steerage.
Yeah, I was walking back to steerage. This person was in first class, last row of first class, let's just say. From Miami back to L.A. nonstop.
It must have been Pitbull.
No. Friend of the show. Guest of the show, I believe, this year. She on? Oh, I said it was a
It's a woman.
Yeah, sorry.
Jim, you want to ask a question before we proceed?
Yeah, I guess. Would we know this woman from TV or movies more so?
More movies, I think, but she's done both.
Movies.
Okay.
And she's been on this show in the last year.
I would say in the last year.
Comedic actress?
Yes.
Is it Jillian Bell?
Over 50?
Over 50, yes.
Mm-hmm. Over 50, okay.
Okay.
Not Jillian Bell.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What?
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of any comedic movie actress who's been on this show in the last year, and I'm coming up blank. Has she been on television? She's done TV shows?
Yeah, but you probably wouldn't. You'd know her more from movies.
Okay. And has she been in a movie in this past year?
That I can't tell you. Probably. I'll say no.
Okay. But we've all seen her in stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And we've also seen her in this room.
Yes, you have. Yes,
most importantly.
Huh.
Is that like character? Mike, would you call this person a character actress?
I would, yes.
Above the title?
Yes.
Okay, all right.
Is she over 60?
Yeah.
She's over 60.
Oh, is it Mindy?
Yes.
Yeah, Mindy Sterling.
Mindy Sterling. Mindy Sterling.
There we go. Friend of the show.
Friend of the show, Mindy Sterling.
All right.
Nice.
And I never made it up there to say hello. I've never met her.
Go up and say you could have said friends with me. She's wonderful.
You know, by the time we sat down, that curtain closes. You can't get past that. Yeah. You can't,
if you don't do it on your way by, it's never going to happen.
Nope. She did text me. She said, I think I just saw a friend of yours. I've requested. They don't allow them. Jim, you got a Q movie guess?
I was going to go with Guerin's, with Quigley Down Under, but there was this other one that was floating. There's some Q movie that Gene Wilder was in 1970 with some crazy long name. Quigley Crackers has a cousin in the Bronx.
Oh, no, I've never heard that one.
I saw the poster. I mean, it's like one of the old, it's looks so crazy and
is that post-Wonka?
Old.
Is that post-Wonka?
Is that post-Wonka?
Might be pre-Wonka.
Well, when was Wonka, I guess?
It was around 70s. Then, right?
No, the most recent one was this year.
It was either early 70s last year. Or 69, somewhere around there.
Yeah, well, I would have said maybe 71. I don't know.
Yeah.
Garrett!
I'll go 71 with Wonka.
You caught it.
Nice job, Garrett.
You caught it.
Quaxer Fortune has a cousin in the Bronx.
Ooh,
is that
boy.
Film.
And what year was that?
1970.
70.
And when was...
before Willy Wonka.
Oh, okay.
A year before Willy Wonka.
Happy birthday.
All right, good luck, Jim.
All right, good luck, Jim. We'll find out together when we go to that. I think we got time for one more call.
Batavia. They're coming, Jim.
They're coming, Jim. Where's Batavia?
It's out west by St. Charles, all the way out there.
Okay.
I have a friend who lives out there. There's a new club out there, Comedy Vault in Batavia.
The Comedy Vault?
Yeah, it's kind of taken over that space that the Zanies in St. Charles left behind.
Ah.
Not the actual space. I mean, I think it's downtown Batavia.
There's a lot of... a lot of people living out there now.
Oh, yeah. It's spread.
It's not the farmland that it was when you and I used to work that Zanies in the silo.
Oh, my God. I used to drive to college out in the northern.
Right.
And taking that 88 across, it was farmland. And now it's practically suburb all the way.
All the way.
It's crazy.
Agreed. That's agree to disagree, Mike.
This used to be all orange groves over here. Old man talk.
Is somebody there? Hello.
Oh.
Hi. Who's this, please?
This is Matt from Woodridge, in Illinois.
Illinois getting through today.
Yes.
Boy, oh boy. Siegel's really bringing Matt.
Yeah, right.
Where's Woodridge?
It's my people.
Is that near my dad?
West.
Right by Downers Grove, Westmont.
Yeah, it's right by Westmont. Yeah. My dad's in Westmont. Why don't you go check in on my dad since I got you on the phone. I'll give you directions. Get on Cass, then go to 55th, and then do something. I forget. What is your name, sir?
I'm Matt.
Matt, still Matt, nothing changed. Still Matt from Woodridge.
We had a Jim and then we have Matt.
Yeah.
Wow. Let's take one more and see if we can get
Who's the
Mike
first person?
That was Brian.
That was Brian.
Oh, well. We got Garen calling from Oak Lawn.
Which means he's a racist. Matt, what do you do, sir?
I'm a podcast producer.
Not you, the other Matt.
I'm a high school teacher.
High school? Hey. Any specific class or subject, I mean?
I do physics.
Ooh, oh, well.
Nice. Oh, so do you ever do the catapult thing? We were just talking about how great catapults are.
Actually, last year I had some kids build, it was kind of like a hockey puck launcher. They were supposed to launch the puck onto the ice at a game.
How'd it go?
And it went pretty well. About half of them got it, within about a meter of center ice. So it was pretty good.
Oh, that's cool.
Four people died.
Yeah.
You know, you break a few eggs.
Yeah, yeah.
Not a big fan of the use of metrics, but it's cool. Yeah. We live here in the States. Let's love this country. Put your fucking red hat on.
Yeah, how many kilometers away was it?
Give me that in yards.
Are you off school today? Or no, it's 3 o'clock.
They have final exams this week, so they're finished for the day.
I see. Okay. Good for you. Are you married out there in Woodridge?
I am not.
That a boy, swing it loose, right? Get out there. You go to your bars after school.
You betcha.
I do bet.
This guy's got a real problem, actually.
You betcha. I'm drunk now. I got a flask I keep in my top drawer of my desk at the school.
I meant you had a gambling problem.
Oh, me?
Yeah.
Oh, I was talking about him and having a drinking problem. See. What you got a Q movie guest or any celebrity sighting you want to tell us about?
I don't have a celebrity sighting. Not too much going out here in Woodridge, but my thought was Quantum of Solace, which I think matches the other Matt.
That's right.
Yeah, the Matt's match.
Matt's Unite with Quantum of Solace.
The Matt.
Hey, what?
Well, Matt, it was. I'd like to say it was a pleasure talking to you, but it kind of seemed like a slog, to be honest with you. Is he laughing? Is Matt laughing?
Yeah, I heard a little chuckle.
I can't tell if he's laughing. This guy's so dry.
This guy's got a hockey puck gun in his mouth right now. I can't believe I've been insulted by a hero.
This is about 3 centimeters from my face. All right, Matt. Happy holidays, I guess.
We can say
all right, right back at you.
All right, Merry Christmas. Thanks for listening, dude. Appreciate it.
Thanks, sincerely.
Thanks. Bye.
Seems like a nice man, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
Physics instructor, Garen. What do you think about that?
Sounds smart.
Yep.
I never got that high in high school science.
Did you do chemistry?
I don't know if I even made it to chemistry. It was biology, and then I bailed. And both my parents were scientists, so I was horrible at it. Maybe my worst subject.
I listened to a song by Thomas Dolby, and I thought that was enough credit.
Science!
All right, let's fight.
Was a math class.
What? Yeah. Did you really? Garen. I may have too.
There's a lot of math involved.
They're goddamn right. Sure. He's mentioned a meter.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
My second worst class.
Yeah.
Oh. We talked about it with Andy Daly. I think that might have been off the air. Like I would have dropped out of high school if I was allowed to. If they would have said you just show up at 3 o'clock for play rehearsal, done.
Oh, I was so good at math until the algebra hit me, and I was like, wait a minute, there's letters.
Yeah, that ain't
no. And my brain couldn't wrap around it.
You know why it ain't math?
Yeah,
math is numbers. Math is numerals. Math is numerals.
Oh.
Math is numerals.
Oh, let's go.
You forgot that it was upset you up for something. You said you went,
Yeah.
You're right.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Indeed, sir.
You're right. Yeah. Math is numerals.
Yes, Jimmy.
Thank you for the yes and, but play the fucking song.
Yes. And you did it right in character when I was
You're right, boss. Math is numerals.
Harumph, harumph.
Press the button, dumb fuck. All right, here's the fans.
All right.
Let's get...
I can't believe no one said Quicken the Dead. That was one of my other ones.
I was going to go Quest for Fire.
Ooh, okay. Oh, that's a good one.
And Quicksilver with Kevin Bacon.
Okay.
I had Queen's Logic as well. Remember Queen's Logic? Speaking of Kevin Bacon? Oh. He's got the greatest line read in the world. All you have to say is yes, Mike. You ready? You like that guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I don't. And he does it so, like, you think he's saying something positive, but he's not. Right. It's great. I think he's talking to Jamie Lee Curtis.
Oh, yeah.
That movie's okay.
I don't remember it.
I don't remember it at all.
It was at a time where those the ensemble cast movies were, in the 90s, were kind of a thing.
Hmm.
And Queen's Logic was, a neighborhood thing with different dynamics.
It's like an indie movie, but there's 5 movie stars in it.
Yes. Yes. All right, here's the fans.
Sure. So there's 9.
All right.
Starting with number 9,
uh-huh.
The Quiet American.
The Quiet American.
I'm not familiar with that.
Nope, me neither.
A Clooney movie?
Yeah, it might be a Clooney film.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Then I believe it was mentioned The Quiet Man.
Quiet Man, that's what I said. The John Wayne, the Western.
Then we got Quadrophenia.
Mm-hmm. No.
No.
What's the Quiet Man then?
Quiet Man is in Ireland, right?
I don't know.
Quiet American is Michael Caine and Brendan Fraser.
All right. What's the Quiet Man? Is that, in fact, John Wayne in Ireland?
Quiet Man.
Yeah. I always thought it was a Western, but I've
just because it was John Wayne?
Quiet Man. Yeah.
It's a 1952 American romantic comedy drama by John Ford.
Yeah.
John Wayne, Maureen O'Hara, Victor McLaglen. Yes, yeah. It's John Wayne.
Wow.
Went to the Quiet Man Bridge in Ireland. They have a little plaque there.
Oh, yeah?
Where
yeah.
this famous scene was shot there. Yeah, he goes to Ireland, and he's like a boxer. I think he kills somebody in the ring, and then he kind of escapes to Ireland, falls in love with Maureen O'Hara. Like my mom's favorite movie.
Oh, wow. Is that right?
Yeah.
Might be my dad's favorite movie.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And which made me think it was a Western, because my dad loves Westerns.
And it's shot beautifully. I mean, it's Ireland, so it looks amazing.
Here's how I know it's not that. Elliot just went, oh! hearing about the plot of this movie. Right, yeah. So I didn't match. Go ahead.
Fair enough. So I said Quadrophenia.
You did.
Then The Queen.
The Queen.
Oh. Not familiar, but
sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, it was about Elizabeth.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So that's also not a winner.
It was also one of the answers on the floor last night.
Oh. Was that Helen Mirren?
It was.
Played Queen Elizabeth.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Did you ever see Helen Mirren when she was young?
She
wore a swimsuit.
She's a lady. So I'll go back in time and tell my dad to whack off.
Right?
The fuck do you want me to do with
this? Can you believe how hot she was? Yeah, she was a movie star model. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that a weird thing? You know who's got a wonderful voice? Karen Carpenter. Shut the fuck up. Go ahead.
Quills.
That's that movie about the porcupine.
Jeffrey Rush and Kate Winslet?
Yeah, Makita Saad, I believe.
That's
is
right.
About.
All right.
Then you got, it says Quantum of Sola, but I assume they just hit enter too soon.
Yeah.
Quantum of Solace.
Very excited about their answer.
Yeah, there you go. Quiz Show.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
I think it's going to be Quiz Show.
Number two is Quigley Down Under.
Oh, there it is.
And number one from the fans, The Quick and the Dead.
Quick and the Dead, the one that...
I passed over. I didn't think it was... I thought Quantum of Solace... I don't know why. Elliot likes to do the alphabetically early...
UUA.
...answers, yeah.
Quick and the Dead would have probably matched me if I had kids.
Yeah, I would have.
Probably would have picked that.
Sam Raimi movie.
But we talked about Quiz Show quite a bit lately on this program.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Great movie.
Is that true?
Yeah, yeah, because Matt Donaher texted me and said, you guys have been talking a lot about Quiz Show, so I just downloaded it. I'm going to watch it soon or something. I forget what
that
said.
Shows you how thoroughly I forget everything we talk about.
Oh, yeah. As soon as we walk out the door.
All right, give us your five.
All right. I'm going to give you a six because it's quick. Quills.
Quills.
Number six.
Never heard of Quills and just come up twice now.
Yeah. Number five, Quest for Fire.
Quest for Fire. That movie was unwatchable.
Right.
Yeah. People loved it. It
was there's grunting. No dialogue, right? Yeah.
It's about cavemen, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But it's brilliant. It's about mankind and Oscar Wade. Yeah, shut up.
Is that been 20 minutes.
Daryl Hannah?
Correct.
Yeah. No, Radon Chong.
Oh, wait. What was Daryl Hannah in?
She was
in one of those, too.
She was in, what was that called?
Yeah, I thought it was Quest for Fire, but that's right, it's not.
The White Bear or something?
Yeah, Clan of the Cavemen.
There you go.
Thank you.
All right. Then number four, Quicksilver.
Quicksilver.
That's with Kevin Bacon.
Kevin Bacon.
Messenger.
You mentioned that one.
Horrible movie.
It is not a good movie.
Oh, it sucks.
Came out after Breaking Away and it had bikes in it, so I was like, I must see it. And then when it was over, I must leave here.
So it's just delivered packages?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Had a soundtrack, I want to say, on Atlantic Records.
I mean, that sounds like a good premise for a movie.
Yeah, it wasn't.
Yeah. Then I have Quantum of Solace.
Damn it.
Number two, The Quick and the Dead.
Quick and the Dead. And number one.
Number one was one of my mother's favorite movies, and I liked it because there's one good line towards the end that I would mention, but don't want to spoil it. Quickly Down Under.
Quickly Down Under.
Unbelievable. That anyone on earth had a favorite line.
I know, from Quigley from Down Under. Down Under.
Garrett Cockrell matches.
I am shocked. I thought you would say The Quiet One. Whatever.
I thought he was going to say mine. Yeah.
Right.
It's because Moms Everywhere love it.
Moms love it.
It's Dr. Zhivago of John Wayne films.
It's the kicks of John Wayne films.
Like there you go.
Well, good for you, Garrett. Congratulations. $5 with the Quig.
I'm shocked. I thought I was the only one who saw that movie, and I saw it in a theater when I was 10 years old.
I don't think I saw it in a theater, but it was on. It was another one of those movies that was on Z Channel.
Never seen it.
It's actually a really good movie.
I hear there's one great line. That was not an insult. You looked at me like I insulted you. I was not insulting you.
I don't.
I'm insulting your mother.
Oh, okay.
I want to be clear. Your family's getting hurt.
Well, I mean, yeah, okay.
I don't know your mom.
No.
There's lots of boobs in it.
I mean,
that helps.
Go on. Go
ahead. I didn't realize that.
I don't remember boobs.
I'm listening.
I definitely think Laura San Giacomo gets... Or maybe it's just... Because it takes place in Australia, doesn't it?
Yep, it's in Australia.
Down Under, buddy. It's right there in the title.
It is like right there in the title.
Right there, buddy.
They take their shirts off backwards there, don't they? Hey, that's comedy.
Is it a dual entendre, though? Is it also about box munching?
You fucking idiot.
You fucking idiot.
Wow.
Box that munching. Box
you made me blurt laugh. You're forgiven for all the shit you've said in the last 6 months.
That delighted me that you laughed that way.
Oh, my God. I had to turn around and push the mic away. I laughed so loud. That's good. That's, see, that you get one a year from Belknap.
Sure.
Right? Piece of gold.
Mm-hmm. I think I've Belknap broken gold. A record by saying the word pussy 3 times on 3 consecutive episodes.
You said box muncher here.
But I said pussy earlier in the episode.
Oh, you did? In this episode?
Yeah. I'm saying it so much that you don't even notice anymore.
But it was about Trump, right?
I don't remember.
Grab him by the pussy?
Oh, yeah, probably.
Well, exactly.
So I'm not counting that one.
Okay.
I heard it in the Andy Daly episode.
Yeah.
On the way in.
I said someone got kicked in the pussy. I forget why. Yeah. that, but, all right. Let's count this out.
All right. Here we go. This goes to Garen. And 5.
There. Right over his head.
Oh, boy. That,
I got it.
Say goodbye to that. Oh, he got it.
Couldn't handle the high heat.
Has he ever caught it?
Well, the money maybe not, but he's caught.
He caught a piece of paper just here today.
Okay.
This is,
boy.
That's Garen's life in a nutshell. He has no problem catching trash, but when money's coming out of him.
Right through his fingers. Right through.
Right through into some other company.
Uh-huh. Garen Cochran. Well, Mike, thanks for being here.
No, it's fun as always.
This is maybe our longest episode of the season.
Oh, my gosh.
Right? It's a long one.
Mm-hmm. Andy Daly's, it's about the same. They were both close. Very long.
This is shorter than the Andy Daly?
By about, right now, about 2 minutes, yeah.
Are you taking a break for Christmas? Are you going to...
What's your question?
Are you going to get a week off or anything for the holiday?
We are taking a week off the first week in... the week between Christmas and New Year.
Yeah. Yeah.
So enjoy these extra long episodes.
Yeah, right.
We'll be putting out something from the archives, and there will be a bonus, the December bonus.
A bonus that people will love.
Oh, yeah.
They will love it. It's a really great bonus. I'm getting a very important phone call. It's not very important.
It's a doctor.
It is not. It is. I have made...
Trying to reach still sucks.
Attaboy, I've made the mistake of I'm looking for a new I'm pricing other alarm house alarm companies.
Oh, yeah.
And I've made the mistake of
giving your actual number.
You're on the list now.
And now here's the thing: I need the information.
Sure.
And I just did it last night, but they've called now. Both companies have called 5 times.
Yeah.
And again, I need to talk to them because I need to compare them to what my company is charging me. Mm-hmm. But Lee, I'll get back to you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm not ignoring you. I reached out to you.
You know what you do? You have them call the HOA and then have it go through them.
Yeah, go through.
Yeah.
Because to upgrade with my current company is a lot more than I thought it was going to be.
Oh, boy.
And I don't know if I trust myself to do SimpliSafe.
Has the alarm ever gone off? Like with...
You mean with a human being?
Yeah.
For reals.
No.
In 15 years.
It's only been by a faulty sensor or the wind.
Okay. Ooh. I was going to say or a raccoon or something.
But we've been broken into.
Oh, you have?
Which is why we got the alarm.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. So I hear what you're saying because part of me thinks, like, we don't fucking need this thing.
Right.
It hasn't gone off once in 15 years. But we got it for a reason, and I do feel safer having it.
Sure.
I feel more secure. So I don't want to not have it, but I don't trust myself with SimpliSafe, which is really the cheapest, easiest way to do it.
Oh, okay.
And very highly rated.
Here's the other one calling me.
Wow. Oh,
wow.
And very highly rated, yes. But again, I'll fuck it up somehow.
Well, you could still have someone help you.
You could probably hire someone to do it.
I don't need anybody coming in my house. I'm trying to keep people out.
Wait a minute, but then wait. I'm sorry. I realize this is a joke premise, but I have to deal with this. Then why are you calling these other people? Because they will have to come into your house.
Yes, Elliot. You knew it was a joke premise.
Yep.
Still
as I said
question.
Early on in the show, then we just laugh and we move on.
Oh, yeah, right.
We don't analyze comedy.
It is interesting that they called you back to back like that.
Yeah, and they're calling. You think it's the same company?
I think it's the same company.
Secretly. It's kind of like the man on the inside where they have the phones routed. I just finished that last night.
Oh, yeah. It's a good show.
The Ted Danson show?
Yeah.
Not funny, but beautiful.
There's some humor in it, but I agree.
Yes,
it's not
Elliot.
Largely.
There's some humor.
I
laughed at it more than I thought I would based on your description.
Is it as funny as The Bear?
It's funnier than The Bear.
Okay.
Yeah. It hit a moment in the middle where there's two episodes that didn't advance anything, and it's like, oh, you're just kind of filling out the...
Mm-hmm.
But you know, there's character stuff happening there.
Yeah.
And then the fact that there's a tease for another season, I'm like, I don't know about that.
I'll tell you this. I don't need another season.
Yeah, I don't either.
I think not unlike Bloodlines, it did its job and won.
Exactly.
But it's good.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind seeing his character do other things, as long as it's not the same premise.
But I like Stephanie Beatrice's character, too. And so, yeah. like, I don't want... And I also liked his friend, Norbert, or whatever his
name
was.
I suspect we'll see him again.
Yeah, I guess he will.
He'll go visit him, you think?
Or he'll get wrapped up in it somehow.
Stephanie Beatrice is the woman that ran the place?
Yeah.
Yeah.
From Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yeah.
She was great in this.
Yeah.
You say Nordberg? Is this a Naked Gun vehicle?
I forget what his name was.
Yeah, it's O.J. Simpson.
O.J.'s back?
Yeah. Egbert. What was that guy's name?
I don't know.
He had a weird name.
We've gotten into the Bad Sisters. Have you watched that?
Oh, my wife loves it.
On Apple.
What's her name? The woman from...
Sharon Horgan.
Yeah. Oh, right.
Takes place in Ireland. It's very good so far.
Cool.
All in.
Everything she does is good.
Yeah.
Like that thing with Delaney was good. I like that show. For a while. Then I... It got a
little and then bad. She did another thing that I also liked. Now I forget what it was.
Everything she does is good.
Yeah, she's funny.
We wish her a lot of luck because we do all the Irish. Luck of the Irish. It's right in the name.
Yeah.
Right in the thing.
Quiet man.
Hey, everybody that listen on the live stream, we appreciate you joining us for the live stream. Appreciate the people that called in. The gentlemen, the ladies, of course, don't know how to dial. That's why we don't ever get them. Oh, I don't like when Jimmy said that. I know how to use a phone. Don't fucking email me. This episode comes out pre-Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then we'll have another episode out pre-Christmas, right? No.
We'll come out Christmas night.
Come out Christmas night. So happy Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas.
Enjoy your Christmas Eve. Merry Christmas. We appreciate it. We give you the gift of comedy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what Never Not Funny provides, the gift of comedy.
Happy Hanukkah, Elliot.
Thank you.
That starts on Christmas Day, does it not this year?
I believe it is. It's either there or the day after. I can't remember.
Yeah. Right.
Once again, late, you know better than me.
Late this year.
Yeah, very late. That's why we had to have a lot of latkes not during Hanukkah.
Before everybody left town.
Basically.
Yeah.
So that we weren't interfering with the Christmas parties.
Starts on Christmas.
Yeah.
Evening of December 25th.
Ooh.
Wow.
I'll be having dinner with my father-in-law. On Christmas evening, that's what we'll be doing.
Nice,
and it'll be enjoyable. Last year I had it, and I was it was day six of COVID. I had COVID at Christmas last year, and then
it's a bummer.
Tested negative, and then was able to go, but I still was feeling crummy.
Mm.
Or was it? Yeah, right. Yeah, because remember we had to do a couple Zoom shows right before Christmas last year.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. I was down under for Christmas. Speaking of Quigley,
is that right?
Oh, yeah. I was last. Yeah,
yeah.
I got off a ship on the 23rd of December in Sydney, and just stayed. And then Piper came out to meet me. So we spent like all through New Year's. So we got to see the Sydney Harbor Bridge on New Year's.
Oh, that's
Eve.
Great.
Oh, that's cool.
It was pretty amazing.
We always see that. They always show that on the
around
the,
one of the
New
first.
Year's around the world. Yeah, that's awesome.
It's beautiful.
It's a big
really
fireworks
cool.
show.
Is that yeah, it's gigantic. Yeah.
Oh, that's great, Mike.
She had a friend of a friend who had an apartment there you could see from the balcony. So it was like the perfect
incredible.
Yeah,
that's
fun.
Great.
Love it.
Yeah, it was really
follow up. Who's Piper? You've been probably about 7 years now, right?
Four.
4 years? It's dragging on, though. It seems like seven. Or the opposite. Flies by.
Eternity. Yeah.
Well, four. She's a delight.
Well, thank you.
Right?
I'll tell her. And you liked her cookies.
I did like her cookies.
And that's not a euphemism.
Yeah, what happened?
It's actual cookies here.
Yes, and I enjoyed her company when I saw her over the weekend.
Yeah. So, and she had fun.
Good. I'm glad. It was a nice time.
Where's the leftovers? I heard there was some here.
Leftover cookies.
Yeah, if you want to take a different batch of cookies home with you.
Yeah. You want to swap out cookies.
Was it last year you had four trays of meat or something?
Last year we were the woman at the catering place sold us a bill of goods. And, oh, you're going to need this much. And we did not want to be the party that runs out of food, so we did it. And then literally had to go to my neighbor and go, do you want some food? And he came over, and we handed him a sealed tray that would feed, you know, an office party.
Yeah. Right.
Here's a tray of food that will be good for you to bring to work tomorrow.
Perfect amount this time?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Except for that fucking cream cheese.
Oh.
Cream cheese. Somebody had to go out and get some.
I remember.
Who did that? I did.
Oh. Was it 7?
You're not aware of this?
No. Of course, I'm setting you up. How long did it take you?
How long? From my door to Target and back? Mm-hmm. 7 minutes.
So thank God they had that dedicated cream cheese aisle. You could
got right through.
Avoid that Christmas traffic.
Register 8.
It was an end cap.
Yeah, right.
Zipped in, zipped out. Got it. 7. That's amazing.
That incredible. Is good. That's good.
On foot.
Yeah.
I arrived just before you got back.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. Did a little Frogger across Los Angeles.
Why is Jimmy sweating?
Wait, really? I thought I was already there when you had to leave to get it.
No, sir.
No.
Because I heard you saying something to Danielle.
I told you about it.
Yeah.
He was bragging to everybody.
Yeah, I guess.
Anybody would listen. Yeah, that was the one thing. They came up a little short on the cream cheese. So we'll know for next year. Order a side of cream cheese so that somebody doesn't have to run across. Although, how long does it last? Because I bought several.
Very long.
No, I think it will. It'll last a year.
Just put a little extra on every morning.
Here's some cream cheese. I don't use it.
No.
I love it. That's dangerous. If I have a bagel with cream cheese.
Hold on. Is it Bangkok dangerous?
I'm having the whole sleeve of bagels.
Yeah, no, I get it.
By that, I'm
especially those. Those Factor, is that correct?
That was Factor's Deli, yeah.
Yeah, those are good bagels.
Everything Factor's is delicious.
Yeah, I helped out by taking some of the roast beef. Apparently, people weren't as interested in roast beef.
People didn't like the roast beef or the corned beef or the... people like the turkey.
Well, guess what? I had the roast beef. Charlie had the corned beef.
Oh, good.
Yeah. And he didn't know what it was, but he had it. I think he thought it was ham.
Oh, is that true?
But he loved it.
He liked it.
And Irma was very excited to receive the roast beef.
She likes the beef. She likes the meat.
Yeah.
Taking her to Arby's yet?
No.
They've got the meat.
Yeah,
oh, my God. I found out the other day that Arby's does not, it's not RB for roast beef. It was the guys who started it.
Yep.
That's so disappointing.
Really?
Arby's keeping you up at night?
I just can't believe that was right there. And they were like, no, it's like the Rabbit Brothers or something is what
we've
Arby's
definitely
meant.
Talked about.
Yeah, I know. And I apparently, again, I don't remember
twice.
Anything.
Yeah. Three times.
But did you know that they originally wanted to call it Big Tex and that name was taken?
Oh.
Wow. Is that where the hat comes from?
Probably.
I've never been to Big Tex.
But have you ever been to me?
Yeah. I have.
You saw they're bringing Chi-Chi's back? Did you see this article? They're going to, they want to reopen in Chi-Chi's.
Is that right?
Around the country, yeah. And that was a big deal when we were.
It was a huge deal in the South Suburbs when Chi-Chi's opened.
And I always remember the Tony Boswell joke about it.
Which is?
Well, Chi-Chi's, it's a nickname in Spanish for tits. He's like, that should be their logo. Like, Chi-Chi's, it's Spanish for tits. I would eat there. Tony Boswell.
Yeah, the other one, Long John Silver's, smells like fish.
A lot of Chi-Chi's and Quigley Down Under, if you haven't seen it.
Oh.
I went back.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
How do you feel about it?
We're trying to wrap up.
Yeah.
Sorry. Sorry.
Thanks, everybody. No, let's give me more Tony Boswell.
Now we are way
strap
over.
Strap in, my friend.
We have officially gone way beyond the
end. Yeah, we did it. So. Hey, everybody, thanks for listening, for subscribing. Have a terrific holiday. We will have, I guess, we're two more episodes we're recording.
Yep.
So there's two more episodes next week, and then the week after we are off. Prepare for that.
Well, strap it down.
Just so people know what's happening, you will hear, we're recording two next week, but one of those they will hear in January, and then the bonus will fall in between, so we'll be taking a couple of, we'll go over.
The next week will be, it'll be Christmas Day and the 29th.
Yeah, but the 29th is when we're releasing the December bonus, and then we're releasing the 35R the following Sunday.
Oh, I see. Oh, very good. All right.
Just so that the December one comes out.
You'd think
out
that
in
the
December.
Star of the show would be kept apprised.
Well, there was a meeting.
We
was I
discussed
there?
It at length.
Yes. In fact, you decided some of it,
and I think we reiterated that before we started today.
We may have. That part I don't recall.
I don't listen to you two.
Fair enough.
I listened to you two enough on the show.
It was just so that the December bonus came out in actually December.
Yes.
It made more sense to do it.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
It's also the week that no one's, people are out doing whatever they're doing.
So. I suspect that the conversation trying to figure out when the bonus should be released may have put you to sleep.
That's fair.
It's doing it again. if it's anything like right now, then the answer to that is yes.
But let's tell people the re-release that's coming out the week of New Year's is a very old episode. So anybody who's a tier one subscriber may not have heard it before. It's from 2012.
Whoa. Yeah. And who's the guest?
The guest is a young whippersnapper who's trying to make a name for himself in the comedy world. John Mulaney.
John Mulaney.
Yeah. Wow.
Young John Mulaney.
Only appearance?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You think you can get him back on again?
No. Have not tried since before the pandemic, to be honest. I have not, reached out.
He was a fan.
He wrote
it. He wrote a letter,
our
right?
Our very first fan letter.
Yep. Hey, look at that.
It was from John Mulaney.
You got to listen
good
to
memory.
The show.
Yeah.
There you go.
That gets my son some cred at school when he tells them that John Mulaney sent his dad a fan letter.
Yeah.
And then they go, is your dad funny?
And do you remember what it was about? Because I just re-listened to the episode just to make sure we didn't say
any F-bombs. It was about the band.
Oh, right.
Yes. It was about the what specifically?
The Hot Streets album cover.
Yes.
And his dad was a Chicago fan or something along those lines, I think, right? Isn't that the...
I don't know. Yes, I think so.
I think, Yeah, something like that, which makes sense because I think I'm John Mulaney's dad's age.
Yeah, probably. Mm.
All right, we're done. Happy holidays, everybody. You just got the schedule. We'll be on the lookout for that. On behalf of the pop culture, he's looking over there. He's not under the Quigley. That's Garen Cockrell behind Video Village. He's from the Vowel House. He's under the weather, but he still soldiered on and made it through here today. And I'll say it, a solid 78%.
Hey.
Great. You did well today for being sick.
Thank you. I agree.
That's Elliot Hochberg, the Hounsel Matt Belknap, our great friend Mike Siegel. I'm Jimmy Pardo. We'll see you next time on the podcast. AK-47, gone, not forgotten.